All right. Joel Radio's back. Welcome, everybody. Got a great show for you. Joel's here. That's me. Talking about myself in third person. I'm not an asshole at all.
No.
Here's an asshole, Corey Hall.
Hey, thank you.
Corey's here. Well,
after a long hiatus.
Yeah, we were gone. And I was, you were out of town, which we'll talk about that, I guess, on the show, where you were doing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed what you were doing, by the way, in some respects. But, and then, yeah, so Corey was gone for a while, but we took a break. But we're back now. And we are, this show is powered by sugar today. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, it is. This show will rot your teeth right
out
of your
head. Oh, my God.
Everybody.
I'm just looking around the room, and I've never seen more bullshit food in one room.
Nothing like three middle-aged men sitting around a big pile of concentrated
sugar.
Let's
introduce our third middle-aged man who brought a lot of the sugary treats for us. It's Sal D'Amelio returning.
Hey!
Sal, our
Sal.
Our friend, comedian.
Long-time listeners.
It's been a long time. Yeah, Corey, you've gotten married since I've been back.
It's been a while, yeah.
Joel's gone through three waitresses at Denny's. It's been a long time.
No, it's good to have you back, Sal. It's great
to be back.
It's been too long. You know, we do the show so at such odd, staggered weeks, and that it's hard to schedule anybody because we don't know, like, until an hour before, usually, when to even, like, book a guest.
Sure.
So Corey said you inquired to come, and I said, "All right, well, there we'll make some plans for Sal because it's always good to have Sal around."
Hey, yeah, that's right.
All I got is Monday Night Football in a few hours.
Longtime listeners of the Corey and Joel show will recall Sal was our NFL handicapper.
Yeah,
he
used to do playoff picks and stuff for us. And,
yeah.
Now, do you actually bet those games, or do you just?
Oh yeah. I bet a ton yesterday.
Oh boy. See, that makes me nervous, man. I think I know football pretty well, but then when you throw the line in, then I'm out, you know? Like, I just can't, you know, I don't know who's covering spreads.
I put a bet on Denver yesterday and knew I was going to win the first 5 minutes of the game.
Well,
that was the
I think that's probably the safest bet.
Yeah, but what
I don't think they're going to, you're going to
get how many points did Denver give up?
Let's put it this way. They look, they are giving up 10.
Oh, okay.
So they look so good, I bet them in the second half. I put a bet on the second half.
Oh, jeez.
That's how pathetic of a bettor I am.
Well, that is a problem. It seems.
I don't think you can get any action on Denver because they're just too—they're too good.
They're going to be. I mean, can you imagine if they played Jacksonville? It would be like a 30.
They're going to play Jacksonville.
They're playing. What's the spread going to be? 30.
They're playing
38 points.
They're playing. Jacksonville goes to Denver in 2 weeks on October the 13th.
Okay, so
what's the spread on that?
So
that spread's got to be 30.
Well,
right?
It won't be as much as if it was at Denver.
No, it's at Denver.
Oh, it is at
it
Denver.
It is at Denver. Jacksonville goes to Denver on October 13th.
Seriously, that'll be 24-25.
Okay, yeah, right.
I mean, and it'll probably be the highest spread of an NFL game ever. I mean, I was looking at the paper today. Alabama's giving somebody 55 points this Saturday. Why are they even scheduling that game?
Well, betting college is ridiculous. I wouldn't even do that.
Well, you know, because, you know, the college guys will throw it. They got no money. Those guys will shank some field goals and stuff to try to. Well,
you're so right. You know, this is Joel is a number one college football hater nationwide. I still watch some college football, but it's getting unwatchable in terms of Ohio State plays nobody till, like, I think they're playing Wisconsin this, or did they play Wisconsin this week?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they won.
Okay. That's the first team they played. Everybody else
Correct.
Is like Little Sisters of the Poor and, you know, St. Ignatius' reformatory.
Aren't they still on suspension or whatever, though? Ohio State are
no, they're
is that
done
over?
Now.
They're
done
off
now.
Suspension
yeah,
this
off.
Year.
They went 12-0 last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, exactly.
And
got
nowhere, yeah.
But that's the thing, is that all these teams schedule, you know, Twinkies the
yeah.
first, like,
yeah.
5 weeks, and they put up 55 points, and they whip everybody in the ground, and who cares?
Well, that's sort of like college's preseason, though, I think, for the big schools.
Unless you're Michigan, then you're struggling against Akron.
I know. Michigan made it real close against Akron and against Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I was in Boston watching that game at a Bar Louie, watching the U of M Connecticut game going. I couldn't, in disbelief.
Unreal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, was it all Connecticut fans? Were you?
There were not many. It was in a bar where all the games were on, and a lot of people were watching, like,
sure,
Ole Miss and stuff, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, I had that with the Lions,
Texas A&M.
Well, I heard 10 minutes before the game, Connecticut wanted to play basketball instead of football.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago, and
the basketball team would have kicked their ass harder than the football team.
I had to watch the Lions in a Chicago sports bar.
Oh, good.
Which was not a friendly confine for me. You know,
against the Bears?
No, they didn't play the Bears. This was when they played Arizona.
Okay,
The Bears had just beaten Minnesota earlier in the day, so the Chicago fans were still hopped up on that.
Sure,
but I'm sitting there rooting for the fucking Lions, and
you don't want to be.
They're all rooting against the Lions because they know they got first place if Arizona beats us, and of course the Lions lost.
You don't want to be in Chicago when the Bears lose.
No, absolutely not. Right? Yeah,
I've been there, done it, and seen the. I mean,
yeah,
I remember one time. They were putting the dome on. They were putting the spaceship on top of Soldier Field.
Yeah,
the Bears had to play in like Evanston, they had to play in Champaign.
Yeah,
is where they were.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were like playing in, which is like 2 hours away.
Okay, yeah.
And I just remember guys walking around Wrigleyville going, "This fucking sucks. I don't want to go down to you know." They were just so mad, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
I'm like wow,
yeah.
just you know." Bears fans are a little nuts.
Yeah, it was a weird scene too, because then there were like Minnesota fans, because those guys travel everywhere. Vikings fans, they go everywhere. Like if you go to Ford Field for a Vikings Lions game, there's a ton of Vikings fans and their stupid fucking blonde wigs with the pigtails and all that shit.
Yeah,
and
as do cheeseheads.
Yeah, but they were in Chicago too, walking around in the rain, dejected.
Well,
Vikings fans.
If you're from Green Bay, you want to get out of there. So I understand why those guys travel, right? Minneapolis is nice. I like Minneapolis.
I know you like, but you can't like the Vikings. That's wrong.
Here's my thing. I hate them the least of the NFC.
Really?
Teams.
See, I've tried to.
They're on the bottom of the scale. It's obviously the Packers and then the Bears and then.
Really? Because I've tried to rank who I hate the most, and I think it's a 3-way tie for me. I hate the other three NFC North teams equally.
Yeah.
Like when we go to like the Lions home games, against any of them, they're all full of idiot fans. Mm-hmm. The only idiot fans that I've seen that travel to like Detroit would be like Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
We've seen some Lions Cowboys games at Ford Field. There's tons of them. And of course like Bengals fans. But Bengals fans, I'm not that annoyed by Bengals fans because the Bengals suck pretty much every other year.
The Bengals are coming to Ford Field.
Yeah, they're going to, this year we play that
and,
conference.
We
play the NFC North.
We're going to the Browns.
Yeah, we go to the Browns.
So if you want to take that 2.5-hour road trip down there again.
Yeah, we did that. That'd be
a good game.
I think we went to the last, I don't know, Jeff Garcia started the Lions-Browns game we went to in Cleveland. But I wasn't intimidated by those fans because we were singing the fucking Lions fight song.
Here's
the three of us, me, Corey, and his buddy, and we were.
I just was
Nigel Rosenblum.
I was just in Cleveland last week on the way out east and stopped and had lunch. And
I ain't afraid of those fuckers.
No, and I was talking to Cleveland. Okay, here's the
they're dumb.
I hate the Indians. Yeah. All right, I do hate the goddamn Indians, but I can't get mad at the Browns.
Right.
I can't. They're so sad, Sack.
They are.
I can't get mad at the Cavs.
And they know it, too.
Who cares about that?
They haven't had a quarterback since Kozar.
I know.
Which he was great.
Right.
When three Lions fans can sit here and feel bad for a team, you know they're sad.
They really lost their team. They lost their team, and then how many seasons? Was it 3 seasons later they won the Super Bowl as the Baltimore Ravens? Yeah. So
I was talking to the Cleveland guy, and I was like, well, we hate the Packers the way you hate the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I think they hate the Steelers without
they
any.
Right
when we were
road.
In Cleveland
yeah.
at the game, there were like, I don't know, 10 guys that had Steelers suck shirts. And I'm going, you're not
playing the Lions.
You're not playing the Steelers.
The Steelers suck.
The Steelers are not in the building. But they were walking around with their Steelers sucks material. So
yeah,
there you go.
Wow. So
lots
anyway.
Lots of nutty fans out there.
Yeah, so football, what do you think of the football season so far, Sal, NFL?
So far,
Lions are 3-1. First place in the division.
Yep, now they got to go to Green Bay where they haven't won since God knows when.
I honestly feel like.
But Sal, they hadn't won in Washington, D.C. since 1935.
Correct.
That streak is over.
Because I know Green Bay is what? They're 1-2 right now?
They're 1-2
and they had a bye. But I honestly feel like Green Bay is like, we'll put up 20 points and Green Bay is going to put up like 700. I really feel like it's just an ass beating coming.
It is. And they actually have a running game now. They got, I think Starks is playing well for them. So, I mean, The Lions aren't going to win this game.
No, I don't think there's any way.
It's just not going to happen. If it does, man, oh my God. Well, you know, we should have a parade.
But. Corey and I were going back and forth just in the second half of yesterday's game against the Bears because it was like the Lions looked so shitty in that second half.
I know.
I mean, the offense couldn't do fucking anything right.
No.
And I'm like, how they're going to, they had a, it was 40-13, I think, in the third quarter. And I'm like, they might lose this game. They almost did.
They always find a way to make it. A lot of stuff's going on. You got football. You got the Red Wings start this week. You got the Tigers are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's a fun week right now, man.
That'll be fucking up comedy, right? Those Tigers playoff games. And they're Friday, Saturday.
They're playing Friday night in Oakland. That could be a 10 o'clock game,
but yeah.
That's a scary series, man. Oakland is tough. They're hitting the ball like crazy right now.
And I think, like, especially for, like, my one-nighter that I start, that you did for me last year, the one out, that starts Saturday night.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck. You know, of all the timing to start some shit like that. So.
Maybe they'll have a 4 o'clock game, though.
And it's possible they could have an afternoon.
Now, call me crazy.
Yeah.
This is what I think is going to happen.
Well, yeah.
I think the Tigers are going to pound the shit out of the A's.
I hope you're right, man.
The Tigers were, look, these last three games, everybody went, oh my God, you got no hit by a rookie. By the way, Verlander had two hits. What was it, two or three hits?
Oh, did he finally get a hit?
No.
He pitched
a three-hitter.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, so it wasn't like he put in a crap pitching performance. I think they just went to sleep for the last three games after they clinched.
They did. They're probably golfing down there.
After Jim Leland did his little white boy shuffle breakdance number.
The guys are playing really good. We just gotta get the bats going.
That's the best video of all time. Even if you don't like sports, if you watch the night that the Tigers clinched the division, Jim Leland is giving an interview and he's crying.
That was pretty great.
Tears are pouring out of his eyes. Yeah. And he's like, you know, this team just, you know, there's a lot of expectations in there. And then Torrey Hunter comes in and grabs him, picks him up, drags him into the clubhouse. They all start pouring champagne on him. He does a little boogie. Yeah. And then Moon walks out of the back, goes back to the interview and starts crying again. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. You got a little bipolar there, Coach Leland.
It's tremendous.
Well, he's going to be crying if he doesn't win at all because Ilitch ain't a young pup anymore. So
a young pup? No, Ilitch is an old grizzled wolf.
He wants to win it now.
He wants to win because
no weight.
Yeah, he's not going to see a whole lot.
He looks like Lady Elaine from Mr. Rabbit. That's what he looks like.
We did this whole
land of make believe. I know
they trotted him out for the whatever when they won the.
I mean, Phyllis Diller had better wigs.
The guy's like a legend, Mr. Illich.
Yeah.
It's the whole reason we're here is because of Mr. Illich.
It wasn't for him, Detroit, when it went bankrupt exactly 20 right. years ago.
Yeah, how old is Illich? 92? What is he?
Illich is probably in his 80s.
All the testosterone in his body leached out 15 years ago. I mean, you know, he hasn't had a single drop of testosterone in his body for 15 years.
The guy is the reason we're all here in Detroit. This place would be a fucking... like a nuclear bomb fucking dropped on Detroit, and his shit is still good, you know.
So Oakland that's a 5-game series, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they're already in a must win game.
Yeah, pretty
right
much. Yeah, right. Yeah,
bat.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, they got to win one.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
they got to win one. Yeah,
you know,
game
it's baseball, and you never know what you know. Teams get hot, and then you get your ass kicked.
I got a feeling they're gonna womp the A's. I just think they're gonna.
Well, that's the Tigers' history is to win the first round.
They'll just lay back,
and then you know,
make everybody think, oh, Miggy's, oh, he's all, it's all done, and they're gonna come in and womp them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lions, who like to get a 40, they get a 30-point lead. And then go into the prevent
and then
show.
They coast. Yeah.
Or they'll be 6-1 and then end up 7-9.
I don't know how that.
Just
yeah,
forget that'd... to play the last half of the right. year.
Well, we gotta crack into what Sal brought for us here.
Okay,
I'm going right for it here, Corey. You want to describe?
Let's let Sal describe these wonderful products. Well,
little history: we are the company that I do some marketing for, Arizona Beverage Company. We have the Arnold Palmers and the Jack Nicklaus. We made that famous. So athletes start coming to our company to try to do something, and Shaquille O'Neal said, "Let's do something with me." And
sample these.
You want to really see? Oh, you saying you want me to pour these
can
around and then?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let me do that. I got these cups right here.
So I mean, Soda Shack have to go comes more out cups, in but... May of this year. 7-Eleven had it exclusively. And okay. we just simply sold 1.1 million cases of this stuff. So he's a success on the beverage side as well as TNT and basketball. And I don't know, what else does he do? Deodorant and
everything. I'm drinking the orange. Well, he does that icy hot thing where like you go, like somebody was talking, I forget what talk show, someone was talking about Shaq on there, and they're like, you notice when they cut to the guy applying the icy hot, it's not Shaq. Like when they cut to the guy's back, it's like a black guy, and I guess you're supposed to think it's Shaq because he's talking about his back, but it's clearly not Shaq. It's like some other, it's like some model's back. It's pretty funny.
He's probably Skyping that commercial. He doesn't even want to travel to the studio.
I'm drinking orange cream soda, okay. And this is actually pretty good. It's a little warm. Do you want a cup for that one?
Yeah, sure. Let's see here.
They're really good products. I mean, they're made very well. I mean, you guys, I don't need to tell you guys, Pepsi and Coke is not... it's not good ingredients.
Right, right. So you're saying this is
this has natural stuff in it. You know, has natural.
Well, it's 2% juice, Sal. So that's
2%.
It's a shot glass. You know, in this 32-ounce can.
That's more juice than in 23-ounce orange can. Soda.
Yeah,
I mean this. I could drink this. I mean, I don't drink a lot of soda. But this is tasty. This isn't
exactly.
bad.
It's a cream soda too. So you got to
right. Yeah.
You know what? Well, it gets a kind of a foamy head. In a beer-like way.
Do you want to give me that one?
Yeah, you want to hit a little bit of the... Yeah, give me the
so
the
there's what? Strawberry?
Strawberry, orange cream.
I've drank
orange cream.
So I guess you can have... Just
blueberry.
All right.
And then, well, I guess we should crack the other one, too.
All right. Maybe I'll take a little more strawberry. All right.
Let me have some strawberry.
This smells like hand soap, but it's not...
But
it tastes pretty good, I gotta say.
It's got his face on it, like a big picture of him on it, and a basketball on the side. It's got
that strawberry's got a kick to it.
It's very
99 cents too.
Oh, really? For this whole can?
Yep.
That's not bad.
Yep. So,
that is Arizona's hook, right? They get you the big can.
We do the 99 cents.
The big
now the orange said it was 2% juice, but the strawberry has no such. Makes no such claim whatsoever. So that's an artificial strawberry. But this is, you know, you don't taste a lot of strawberry soda, and this is probably why, but it's not bad.
Strawberry is a hard flavor to synthesize, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, I'm going to open the third one.
Oh, God, you're going to break open another one.
Yeah, why not, while we're here.
Oh, this is the best one right there.
The blueberry.
I love the blueberry.
All right, let me pour this out. I had cups here for our later sample. Now, you think this would be blue, but it's not. Well, it's...
It's kind of a golden color.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like beer or something. Try that blueberry.
All right.
So, as I was saying, now we got celebrities calling the company. Like, Taylor Swift wants to do a water. I swear to God, it's crazy. Greg Norman's calling... Because they see all these celebrities with these products, and they want to get in on the action. So,
well, I'm sure it's very. I mean, Shaq has to do. I mean, you know, Shaq's not making the flavor. Like Shaq doesn't. I mean, the celebrities really kind of do nothing but put their face on the can.
Well,
what are you talking about? Shaq is crushing blueberries with his giant feet.
Well,
with his size 27 feet, he's in there busting blueberries.
Well, he did. He has 7 million Twitter followers.
Okay,
and
so
he tweeted it out when it came out. That was huge. And then he wrapped his RV with cans, and he gave them out. When the Miami Heat were winning the championship last year. So,
really?
I mean, he's done some marketing.
He's done promotion on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, what is your take on the blueberry? Because I'm saying the blueberry to me is the least distinct flavor. It just tastes sort of fruity without being anything specific. You know, like this could be like
this is very obviously orange.
Right, and the strawberry is very obviously like a berry.
Yeah, you're right. The blueberry is a little bit harder to pin down.
But at the same time, it might be more mellow, more of a, what's the word for it? I don't know. Like it's not as distinct, and therefore it might be more pleasing. You know, it's more like a 7-Up or something.
Palatable.
Yeah, it just has a fruit flavor, but it's hard to
pin
down.
I think the strawberry is my favorite.
Okay, I'd say probably the orange is, it's tough to say.
Well, the orange is as close to A&W as you can get. because that's what A&W.
Yeah,
is.
I mean the orange has the creamiest flavor to it. I think
yes,
too.
You get more cream.
There's more cream from the orange. I don't know. It's more of a creamsicle soda.
I think we're also more used to orange cream as a flavor.
Yeah.
Profile. Although in a cereal, I'm frightened of it.
But, we're about to get the orange cream cereal.
I think we're a little more used to an orange cream flavor. The blueberry has a little more kind of a metallic ring to it. A little bit.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm not a big.
All right, now let's get the vodka out.
that's one.
And let's really test these bad.
Well, you wonder if that's not what a lot of people are using the Shaq soda for. Maybe I can see that.
I'll tell you what,
because you would not taste any vodka in the fucking. Strawberry cream
soda.
You wouldn't taste the fucking... like, you could just give that to your kids and they'd fucking suck it down.
Well, I'll tell you what. Jones soda. Now, I almost brought these, but then I figured we'd really, literally need insulin shots.
Yeah.
Jones soda has, like, Halloween-themed beverages.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. I mean, they come out with that every year.
Yeah, well, we've
gravy
done
gravy and all that.
One of our all-time greatest shows was when we did the Thanksgiving...
Did you drink that with us? Yeah. The turkey...
I don't know if I was here. I might have listened to it, but it was great.
Fucking gross.
There was wonderful Brussels sprout flavor.
Yeah, there's Brussels sprout and turkey and gravy.
That was one of our greatest moments.
Ugh.
We had an all-star tasting panel, but the Halloween flavors are a little there's candy corn, which you can throw right in the toilet.
Yeah, candy corn soda. Jesus. You can throw the actual candy corn away.
Yeah, I didn't buy that, and I have a friend who lives in Germany now. Lives in Berlin. And somebody was coming over here, and they're like, oh, grab some candy corn Oreos. We tried watermelon Oreos on the show?
We had watermelon, and we had birthday cake Oreos on the show.
I will try any artificial flavored product, but those watermelon Oreos were hideous. Oreos, I think, ought to leave that shit well enough alone.
It's such a classic chocolate with a white cream.
Peanut butter is the only acceptable alternate flavor that I've found.
The peanut butter creams are pretty good in the Oreos. But
anyway, I think only because he was in Germany did he have some kind of weird nostalgia for candy corn. Because if you live here, no one likes candy corn.
Yeah.
Get that out.
No.
Okay, good.
And as far as Oreos go, I can only eat the original.
The regular
just
Oreos.
It's the classic. Right. You know? And that's it. I can't screw with that.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Doritos fundamentalist.
Yeah?
I'm
What's an acceptable Dorito to you?
The nacho. Is
just the nacho flavor.
Yeah. Cool Ranch ain't bad.
Cool Ranch are kind of a new jack, though. Those were not around originally.
Yeah.
Those came out in like the late 80s, early 90s. Now, what about the taco flavor? Because I thought those were
old. The taco is technically the first Dorito
It's the original
flavor.
Dorito flavor, yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have the
Because sometimes you see those back in the vintage Dorito bag. You know, and then those are no good, though?
But all these other jalapeno and cheeseburger slammers or whatever, all these, you know, colon buster jalapeno. I don't know why we need all these flavors.
Because you're a guy that'll try anything.
I will.
And I think... these companies just figure, hey, if you'll try anything, you at least get that millions of people are
absolutely.
We'll try it once. I mean, even if they don't get repeat business, it's okay.
I was suckered into the Lay's.
You're still spiking your sales.
Suckered into the Lay's flavor contest. Right.
Like, my guess is that the Soda Shacks will be down to maybe one flavor of Soda Shacks, but they'll look at what sells, and maybe it'll drop one,
and
then bring
out
another
new one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'll always have four
now,
or
are
five.
These going to be year-round or just seasonal?
That's permanent product. I mean, we're hoping it's a mainstay, and, you know.
The soda industry has a big ring and mug. The only downside on these is I would be afraid that this would encourage Michael Strahan to come out with a flavor
Gap
of soda.
Gap 2 soda, yeah.
I'm telling you, everybody
Michael Strahan's
wants.
Gap Root Beer.
Well, I like, too, that the Shaq soda is like, there's no, they're not making any allusion to it being a sports drink.
Correct.
It's not an energy. It's just a fucking soda.
I'm getting dizzy from the
for
Shaq
pure
soda.
Enjoyment. Yeah. So
I'm getting dizzy.
Set those down somewhere. Yeah. Just set them behind.
There's
Sal.
Nowhere to put them.
Set them behind Sal on the floor. Even that's fine. It's not. You're not going to damage anything over that way.
But
I've got three cups and a can over here. And
well, we're going to need some more cups for the fruit.
Yeah, we'll get
experiment.
To the cereals later, I think. But let's talk some comedy because people always like when we talk about comedy.
Oh,
on the show.
Gosh.
We have one of the great comedians, Sal D'Amelio, here with us. And applauding your
Thank
comedy
you.
Prowess, Sal.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but Sal, how much comedy are you doing nowadays? Because this is the least comedy I've done in the last year and a half.
Okay, well, you got a lot going on.
Well, I'm working at the Comedy Castle as a full-time.
So you're around it.
I'm around it. I'm booking some shows. But as far as performing, like, I'm rarely going on the road. I went to Mansfield, Ohio a couple weeks ago, and I always hated the road because it was like, you know, the fucking crowd suck. I'd rather just stay home and play the big clubs in Detroit. But now there's fewer big clubs in Detroit, so you end up going on the road. So I went on the road, and I went to Mansfield, Ohio, and 12 fucking goddamn people in the crowd.
I know.
And I'm just drove all that way, and I got paid, and I'm not, you know, complaining about it. And the club tried its best, but it's still,
you know,
12 people, and you just go, fuck it.
You know what's weird is, it's funny, because I was talking about this, but obviously, like you said, there's a lot of big clubs around the country.
Yeah.
But there is so many one-nighters now.
Yeah.
Everybody has a one-nighter. Every bar, tavern,
but it seems like none of them are good. It seems like there's more of them that come up, but there's fewer people at them, or it's just like,
well, because you take a town of 500 people, they got like two one-nighters in it,
I love when you go in there, there's rivalries, there's feuds. You're like, look, they're gonna tell you over there at Shooters that they have the best comedy night, but we here at Jug Tipplers, we're the number one bar in Medina, Ohio. I'll tell you right now.
Or one will have one for, you know, $5. The other guy goes, well, you can get in for $3.50 at my club.
Jesus.
You can't work both, of course. You got to decide.
You get a free ham sandwich if you come see Corey Hall this week.
I did, Saturday, I did an AmVets.
Is that like their hall?
Yeah, AmVets hall in Mount Clemens.
Yeah.
I rolled in there, and it was like, you know, all Harleys. It was like Harleys and like pickup trucks with the extendo racks on the back, and I went okay, and I rolled in there, but they were fun. They were actually
The private clubs are usually fun,
and it was
packed. You go to the Eagles, you go to the Moose; those are usually fun gigs.
They had the place,
the Elks,
they had
they're
the place packed to the back door.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And my first joke was, I said, I want to thank you for inviting me to the rap party for Sons of Anarchy.
Man.
And they liked that. It looked like it. They were all wearing, like, there's a guy walks up in a vest with all these patches on, like a leather vest with all these patches on. He's like, I'm the commander of this unit.
Yeah, they have a hierarchy. Like, somebody's the general, and then there's the...
Yeah, he was the commander
of that AmVet.
Supreme
commander
of
the AmVets.
And there was
Sterling Heights,
Michigan.
There
was a major and a baron, and I don't know what else they
had. They do. They all have ranks, and they're all,
But they kept sending me drinks.
Yeah,
and,
they'll do that.
And I said to the openers, I was like, this is comedy, guys. This is, like, they were looking around like, where are we at? And I'm like, this is about 70% of comedy.
It is a lot of comedy, but some people
This is Midwestern comedy right
here. People go to those lodges because the drinks are cheap. I mean, I was talking to a woman who was probably in her 30s, young woman, attractive, and she goes, I think I'm going to join the Elks. What the fuck are you joining the Elks for? You're like 30-something years old. She goes, you can drink for $1.50 at the Elks.
I know.
And I go, but it's the fucking Elks. It's hundreds of dollars a year to go, it's $1.50, and it's... You know, because there's an Elks right here, like in the town I live, Ferndale, Michigan, which has a big bar district. There's an Elks right in the middle of all the hip bars.
I know.
There's an Elks, and they have an outdoor patio.
They're holding on to that real estate.
Yeah, I know. And like, they could sell that Elks Lodge and put some fucking sushi
and
bar.
Royal Oaks got like Fraternal Order of Eagles.
Oh yeah, right across from the Comedy Castle. There's a VFW.
That's right. Yeah.
And then there's an Eagles down the like a block down the street.
There's a street like Royal Oak and Ferndale are huge bar districts in Detroit. And there's a street in Royal Oak that's holding on to Knights of Columbus and Fraternal Order. You'd think there'd be, there'd be a tapas bar there or something.
Yeah.
But instead, they're holding on to the Knights of Columbus.
But I think they make enough money where it's not.
And isn't there? Yeah, there's a VFW, because that was a VFW my grandpa used to go.
Yeah, the VFW is on the corner.
He used to go to the fish
corner of 4th and Troy. And then if you go down 4th Street, if you go east down 4th Street, there's an Eagles, like a block down that road.
Yeah,
and it's insane. Like it's like
there's a ton of them across the country,
and it's prime real estate. You're right. It's right. There's a VFW across from the Comedy Castle.
Yeah, right.
That's prime real estate. Yeah. It everybody else is getting priced out of that neighborhood.
Yeah,
But the VFW is still doing,
there.
My grandpa used to go to the fish fry every Friday there.
Yeah.
At the VFW.
So. They do a spank. I mean, they do a, you know, and you go in there, and sometimes, like, you'll be doing these gigs, and I'll look, like, what's coming up, and they'll have their, you know, and it'll be like spaghetti dinner.
Yeah.
Next night, comedy night with Joel Fragamenti, and then fish fry.
And when you're on stage, you've always got the past presidents behind you.
Pictures, right, yeah.
You know, if
Bob
you...
Smith, 1952 to 57.
My old roommate is a loon, but she's a Catholic, and she knew all of the fish fries.
Oh, yeah?
Like, in the whole Lent season.
Well, the churches will have them in that,
yeah,
too.
But she could give you a map of, like, all right, this one in Massanites is good, this one's not. Like, she went did, like, every one of the... And it was, like, by the way, it's, like, it is, like, $2.50 or something.
Yeah, it's super cheap,
and you can,
yeah,
just get a huge meal for nothing.
Yeah.
You just walk in there and get, like, yeah, I'll take 5 pieces of cod and some coleslaw and a plate of fries for, like, $3. And you're like, wow, all right.
Maybe we should have a fish fry for Joel Radio.
Perhaps
we're gonna have a fish fry, or I got a deep fryer. I could fry up some fish.
Why don't we fill the hot tub? No, I don't know.
with fish.
Yeah,
with fish, and we can catch them and fry them. You buy it, we fry it.
Okay, all right. This show's gone off the rails.
I'm just talking about comedy, and then we got into VFW.
I know. Well, that's what comedy is.
It kind of has.
Comedy is VFW halls.
It is. Yeah.
For all the glitz and glamour that you see.
Yeah.
For all of the big time, you know, headliners who are playing big theaters,
mm-hmm.
most of Midwestern comedy is playing Elk Lodge.
Yeah, you're right.
In Paw Paw.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, you can, you know, I think at some point you have to make it, and maybe it used to seem like it, like when I got started in comedy, like you could be a Midwestern touring comic and make enough money to, like, kind of be, that would be your main gig.
Yep.
And now it's like you reach, after doing it for 3 years, like if you don't leave for the coast, you end up in the fucking VFW hall on a Saturday night, and you're happy to make their $200 or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not fun.
I'm not bitching, and people go, oh, you guys bitch about comedy and you're bitter, but that's just how it is.
But you know,
and
cool.
It could turn and go a whole nother direction, but, you know.
No, and you know what's really cool is, like, you did Mansfield, Ohio in front of 12 people, and you went down there, you gave it your all.
Yeah.
I mean, you gave them a show.
Yeah.
And then the following week, you're at, you know, Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, and you're performing in front of 200 people, and it's great. That's where I was last weekend.
You
so
are.
It was great.
I'm not at Dr. Grin's.
Well, a club like, or Riddler's.
Right, you
or
could
whatever,
be. Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you could,
you know,
be.
That's what keeps you going. When you do Riddler's in front of 400 people.
Yeah. A couple times a year, you'll get those big gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't do the small ones, then you're out of it to where you can't even do the big ones because people don't know who we are or whatever.
Correct. Or
there's a lot of networking that's involved in that. And so what now, you run a club. How's your club?
It's going okay. I mean, I do the fundraisers and stuff, so I'm not open every week. And it's starting to pile up some shows from now until March
that's
or April.
Good. Yeah.
But I actually had a lot of weeks off in the summer, man. I went to the Tiger games. I enjoyed it. You know, I did some writing.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have gigs every week, I feel like I don't write. I want to just do the same regular stuff.
Get it done, yeah.
So I actually had some open weeks this summer, but went to the Tiger game and hung out. And...
yeah, because it's like, because I'm booking some stuff too, and that's always, you know, I know what an adventure is to sort of, you know, to book, and I booked this, you know, like I said, this first week is the first night at this club.
Who do you got over there?
Billy Ray Bauer.
Okay.
So that's a solid headliner.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who can rock
the bowling alley.
Yeah. So Billy Ray is going to be over there. He's great, great headliner.
Oh, bowling alleys. I forgot to include that in the list of places that you do comedy.
Yeah, Sal's Place is clearly outclassing my bowling alley that I booked, but I also book in Eagles. So I had the Eagles this past week.
Oh, what was the room you got? That's not a bowling alley.
It is. Yeah.
It is, really?
So you don't know because it has its own entrance.
Okay.
But the bowling alley is, like, it's
a nice bar.
It's a nice bowling alley bar.
And you're right. You don't feel
like you're in the bowling alley when you're in it. Because Sal did. You don't even remember the bowling alley.
You'll see the sign that says whatever lanes, but, you know.
Yeah, it's
got its own entrance.
It's got its own
top shelf.
Classy, yeah. But what was I saying? Anyway, you know, you go in there and you just, I booked this thing months ago.
Yep.
And now it's the Tigers playoff game against it. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the guy won't make as enough money, you know, and it's just constantly, you know, like no matter what happens, like if I pack that thing, and this is the way just kind of club owners are, and I'm not the owner, I'm just the booker. Well, you are what? You lease your room, basically? Is that how you consider that?
Yeah, I basically take the room rent, over that night. Yeah, okay. So I've got to get 50 people or I'm out money.
Right,
you know?
So, you know, but I always, like, if I filled that thing every fucking night for the guy, and then he had one show that was up against the Tigers game or something, he'd be like, look, I don't know what the future of the show is going to be.
Yeah.
You just had fucking eight sellouts in a row.
I know.
And then you get one show that's, you know, poorly attended. And then it's like, look, the numbers just aren't working out for me. And it's like, what the fuck? Yeah. One fucking bad show?
We do bar trivia. And I know the host, like, was rooting against the Red Wings.
Oh, yeah?
He was like, these fuckers are costing me money. They're taking money out of my
Well, yeah, business. I mean, guys who do, you got same thing. Guys who do bar trivia or like comics, they're against
I remember like 10 years ago, I had a bar gig, and the guy calls me up and goes, fuck, man, 9/11 just fucked my whole fucking, God damn it. I had 100 people, now I got to cancel the I mean, he was pissed that 2,000 people died in our country. We got a terrorist attack. But, you know, his Eagles comedy show was fucked up.
Yeah, there's always like things.
Maybe we should have joined the Moose Lodge when we were instructed to years ago.
We could still join the Moose Lodge.
Bam, who would have fit right in?
Oh, God.
At this, the AmVets.
This guy Bam Bam was like this biker comic. He might still be around. I haven't heard from him in years.
I have not heard from him in many years.
But he was a biker comic, and he booked me at the Moose with him. Like, I was opening for him. And, you know, I did okay. I mean, I was pretty new to the game, but I did okay. You know, I went up. It wasn't like, it was probably a below par gig for me. And then this guy, Bam Bam, who, you know, and I was, you know, not putting, but I was a good, I was considered a good comic who could go to Ridley's or Chaplin's and kill, right? I go to Moose, it's not so good. Then this guy, Bam Bam, who's such a hack and such a piece of garbage, such a lousy comic, he goes up and kills, you know, and it's like, oh, what the fuck? It's like, you're sort of in this, like, bizarro world where,
well,
hacks kill.
Yes,
sometimes you know. Sometimes it's like that.
You take these jobs that you want. You know, you take these jobs because they're jobs.
Yeah,
but you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
there is the king of the Moose Lodge.
Right. Yeah,
there is a friend of ours who is the king of anywhere that's a good 50 miles away from a bookstore.
Yeah,
he's gonna. You know what I mean? When there's if there's no bookstore within an hour's drive, he's the champion of that room.
Yeah, it's like if I don't do well, I'm happier.
Yeah, like because, you know, when you get into comedy, you know, everyone's like, you know, you can't steal jokes. You got to be original, and you work and you craft this act that is your own voice, and it's original, and it's not like anything else anyone's ever heard. I mean, that's what you sort of strive for. And then you go to, like, a Moose Lodge, and you do it, and all they want to hear is, you know, I could have done Larry the Cable Guy's act and fucking killed
We were at the Comedy Castle watching open mic, and you pointed out a guy, and you're like, this is an Ohio road act.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Right.
It was an Ohio road act. This guy would be killing him in defiance.
Right. And
he'd be killing him in Chillahoe.
Sure.
But when you go to a club where the audience is sophisticated and they get out once in a while to see comedy, they don't want to hear all that bullshit.
If you go to a town with a Trader Joe's, you're probably not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not where they can watch foreign films at the theater. It's a different, and I'm not saying.
It's a generality.
We're in Detroit.
You know,
I'm not saying that we're living in the world's most sophisticated market, but there are differences, and you can tell, and you see guys come in, and you're right, they do road acts, and they're like, this kills them.
Like, there's guys who just figure, you know.
It's not their fault.
It's
the crowd they're playing.
What happens is they do that, and it hobbles them.
Well, it does, but they don't care, because if that's, like, I mean, honestly, if all you're going to do, like we're saying now, like all these clubs are Moose Lodges and bowling alleys and stuff. You know, it makes sense to write that bowling alley Moose Lodge act, which ends up being like everybody else's act. But if you want to kill there, I mean, that's
the problem with that is, and what I've always aimed for, is to try and get a higher level so that
I'm with you. But
you know what I'm saying? No, what I'm saying, if you become the king of the Moose Lodge in, you know, Lima, name a town,
Mansfield.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't play Moose Lodge, but.
Then that hinders your ability to become the king of the comedy club
in
Maine.
You're not going
to
have an HBO special
Madison or whatever
based upon who hates their boss.
Yeah,
here's my coming to HBO this fall. You people are the worst drivers. You know, like, I mean, what?
You're not taking this act to the Comedy Cellar in New York.
That's what people want, though.
Yep.
The Laugh Factory.
But you know, the audiences have different expectations, you know. When it's the Moose Lodge, they just want you to be funny. They don't care if you're original. They don't, you know.
No.
So I've done those. And listen, and I'm not saying you can't do well with an original act. I'll do well with an original act, you know, in most places. But
I didn't really do anything that different than I normally I did a little more crowd work the other night at that Ambet.
Sure,
but I pretty much did the same act I usually do.
Right.
And they sold. Although,
it's not.
I did tailor some of the reference because, like, the guys who went up in front of me were doing a bunch of Facebook material.
Right, yeah.
And there's,
guys,
guys who landed on Incheon in Korea, you know, like, and I'm sitting there going, right, yeah, you didn't. And I said to the one guy, I'm like, you didn't have Facebook. You didn't have cable.
Yeah.
You'd have to look at a cloud till it formed a titty.
Yeah.
You'd have to, there was no,
there's
gaping buttholes for you, Grandpa.
There's a guy who does his act, and I swear to God, the guy was a feature. I think I was the MC this week. Was at a club. I'm not going to say the guy's name because I think he's a good comic, but he literally did 20 minutes on texting. Mm. And I'm looking around the room and I'm going, there's people in here who've never sent a fucking text message. They're just not, you know.
That's the problem. You have to tailor.
Yeah. And it's like, he's a young guy. And I'm like, you know, dude, not everybody, you know, I mean, you're texting
or
material.
Or after 10 minutes, he should have got off of it.
Or, you know, do one bit about texting. But you have to do a whole set.
Do a visual survey.
Yeah.
And take a look around.
But you didn't have a choice.
Go,
that's what his act was.
If that's all you've got, you're in trouble.
But again, it's when you write, you know, again, it can work the opposite way. If all you're playing is in front of hipsters, and you start tailoring all this material to them,
you're boned.
Then you go to the VFW, you're fucked. Yeah. Even when you go to like a room like a, you know, like a mainstream comedy club, it's not going to be hipsters. It's going to be more regular people, and that's not going to work either.
There's the date night comedy club
kind
of atmosphere, which Ridley certainly is.
Yeah,
They're a little bit more. They'll go.
Well, Saturday nights, like at the Comedy Castle, will be your birthday parties, your bachelorette parties, your bigger groups of people. Your Friday night is your date night crowd. You know, then you have the late show, which is younger than the 8. You know, the 10:30 is always younger than the 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So they have their own sort of different thing. Then you have the Thursday night show, which is people. You know, sometimes that's
cheap
work parties or people who just want to go on the cheap.
The cheap,
you know,
night.
People who want to save a couple bucks and don't want to be with all the crowds, and those crowds, and they're usually not as into it because they're not drinking as much because they got to work the next day, so they're a little less rowdy. So each night has its own sort of.
Can I throw a new idea out at you guys?
Yes, sir.
Quit comedy.
That I'm trying to. that I'm trying to develop.
All right.
Okay, you remember the Lou Gehrig speech when you know it was like
the luckiest man.
But
myself.
Yeah. But
isn't
that great though? Because those times are gone, man. Like, what's Miguel Cabrera? He can't even speak English.
Right,
what's his farewell speech gonna be?
Nathan,
is it gonna be baseball been Betty Betty good to me? And then he does a handshake with Prince Fielder.
And the best of both.
They just don't give him the mic.
He'll never be the same.
Well, Mariano Rivera retired, and they didn't let him talk, right?
You're never going to have
They play
again.
That Metallica song, and they just get him out of there.
Watched the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight the other night, and he's doing the interview afterwards with Jim Lampley, and he's obviously understanding the questions from Lampley, but he still waits for the translator. And then I'm like, and I speak a little Spanish, and I heard what he was saying, and the translator was not giving it back directly.
Yeah.
He was changing some of it. Uh-huh. And then he was like, look directly at the translator and talk to him. And then it was just like, but you know, I know you understand the English, so just learn.
Yeah, there's guys who
enough to talk, you know.
It's
for boxing,
the
by
same,
the way, like,
you know?
What do you have to say in a post-fight interview? Like, well, I hit him. I mean, you know, it's like you don't have to have
right.
Him.
Yeah, sometimes boxers are the worst guys to interview after the fight because they don't know what happened.
Well, first of
all,
they're out of breath.
Right.
They just freaking knocked the guy out 2 seconds ago.
They've had their head beaten in for 15 rounds.
They're pouring gallons of sweat and Vaseline and blood, and then they like,
let's talk about the third round.
Well, I was trying to optimize the counters on the left hook, and when he would come down and bring his guard. You know, some guys will do that.
Yeah.
And they'll fucking break the fight down scientifically.
Yeah.
And then other guys, did the thing.
Well, they don't know what happened because they just got
punched for an hour and a half.
That's what I mean. You're never going to have the classic farewell speech again. That's the premise of the bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, when I was a kid, didn't you look at baseball players and say, God, maybe I could be one because that guy's fat, he's slow, he's out of shape.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, look at them now. They're all just, you know.
Yeah, John Kruk.
Exactly.
There's a beautiful human being right there.
Yeah. Baseball, don't tell me you didn't see John Kroc and went, maybe I can be a DH in this fucking major.
Well, Prince Fielder is still keeping hope alive for fat guys everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, no, it used to
They're Albert Pujols now. They look like specimens from out of space.
Yeah,
man.
They're giant. If you watch something, and I probably use this example on the show before, but I was watching some, you know, 84 Tiger retrospective. They're the skinniest group of fucking guys you've ever seen. And then you go like, here comes the big hitter, Lance Parrish. And it's like, Lance Parrish would be the smallest guy on the Tigers today. He wouldn't even be, you know, Kirk Gibson, the big powerhouse. And it's like, Kirk Gibson was like 175 pounds. I mean, like, they were tiny.
Yeah.
You know, athletes, tiny by
it kind of amazes me that athletes used to be like just hot mess. Like, yeah. I watched that Ron Howard movie, Rush.
Yeah,
but the Formula One race, they're all smoking cigarettes.
Right.
They're smoking cigarettes in the paddock, like near the giant tanks of fuel.
Yeah.
Like they're just lighting up smokes, standing around this, like all this, you know, Formula One engine fuel.
I think baseball's just changed the most as far as the way guys train and all that stuff. And the weights and, you know, the supplements and the steroids.
Mickey Mantle would go into training and he'd drink. He drink like 2 Mai Tais a night, instead of 7.
Yeah,
like it was. Like he'd roll back the drinks.
Because I just think baseball used to be a thing where you could just, you know, you just show up and did it. You didn't really spend.
Those guys
a lot
had other
of
jobs.
Time. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You know, he'd switch from whiskey to gin when he was going into training mode.
But all these, you know, you know,
I got a pitch tomorrow. I'm only drinking beer tonight.
Yeah, it just seems like baseball's changed the most in that way. I mean, football players are obviously like. Training more and you know they're way faster than they used to be and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at least the like football players were big fucking tough guys back then, and baseball players were very, you know.
But even the football guys, I mean, like if you watch like Fox, you know, if you watch the pregame at noon, they'll have, you know, Leslie Visser out on the field and Calvin Johnson's running around in a tight like spandex suit.
Yeah.
He looks like a freaking, you know. He doesn't look human, man. No. Come on, you know what I mean?
He looks like he should be fighting robots.
No shit.
With 4. I mean, he really looks like.
Well, that's what
right? You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you? But have our
expectations changed as an audience to these guys? And has it been like, well, now we have to have these guys that are in tip top? Because you know, if you give a guy with a beer gut out there and you're looking at him, you're going, what the fuck's with this?
The
guy?
This
guy's not taking it seriously.
The entirety of the culture has moved in that direction.
Yeah. I mean,
punters are in shape.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, punters used to have big guts back in the 70s. That was great.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Field goal kickers.
Jim Arnold, who punted for the Lions, looked like a lumpy Polish shit by the way.
Janikowski's about the closest one to
You can still get a fat kicker now and then, but.
Or they used to have the little twerpy kickers. You still have some of those, but even those guys are now. Kickers are in way better shape than they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. I think the entirety of the culture, though, in all aspects, has moved more into this kind of fitness profile.
Well,
and I go on television and I feel like the most disgusting blob.
Yeah.
I just go, wow, I can't believe they're putting me on TV. Now,
no. That's what we all think when we see you on TV, Corey.
I know. Well, we were looking at, I was watching Best of Triumph. The Insult Clown Dog. It was on Netflix, and I was watching, you know.
Yeah.
And they had him on Hollywood Squares,
mm-hmm.
sitting next to Al Roker when Al Roker was fat.
Yeah.
And it was disturbing how fat
Al Roker was fat.
And Al Roker got like lap, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, there's no fat people on TV.
Well, Al Roker.
There's fat people everywhere in America.
Al Roker's still.
Go to Kmart or fucking go to this Meijer over here.
Yeah.
You'll see fat people.
Al Roker's still fat, but he's half the size he used to be. But he's still the fattest guy on TV.
Yeah.
But like to see the full-sized Al Roker.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Shocking.
Sure.
I got to check that out. I can't even remember how fat he was.
He was hugely fat.
He used to be super fat, Al Roker. But,
oh, man. That, yeah, so.
Sorry to go on a tangent on that, but
it's okay.
I was just like.
Sorry. Speaking of fat, we have these breakfast cereals here.
Do you want to get into those, Sal? Would you sample one of those? What I'm going to do is I'm going to get some cups and then.
Oh, man. So,
and then,
Sal.
We can have milk.
So, Fruit Brute.
Yes, sir.
Let me come back with those.
Yes. Fruit Brute, by the way, debuted in 1975.
Did it?
And was discontinued in about 85. So it had about a 10-year run.
Really? And you guys, I just opened this up?
No, they relaunched them.
Oh, okay.
They brought them back.
I see. The date is July 2014.
Yes. So Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy have been missing. for many years. Yummy Mummy had a short run. It ran from.
Why don't we do it this way? We'll pour them out, and then we'll just pass the cups around. So,
all right.
Go ahead. You pour that one out, and then I'll pour out the. I guess I'm going to pour out the blueberry.
Okay.
And then.
What's left of the blueberry? Because we did some damage.
Much. I'm only going to maybe put half a cup in there.
Okay, that's good. That's about all you're going to need.
Oh. Yeah, that's more than we're going to probably eat.
All right, there you go.
Well, Corey, no, then you take the Yummy Mummy.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you get what I'm doing, and then we can pass.
Puff, puff, pass. All right, there you go. Okay.
Spoons and napkins for you guys. Mm-hmm. I got a whole system here, Sal.
This is high-tech radio, really, Sal. Yeah, you don't see this everywhere.
Thought out, man.
Yeah, I got milk. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
little,
you know, 5 years ago, we would have had hookers in here. And
there you go. Who needs the... Here, Sal, you want to take the milk there?
Yeah, yeah.
We're passing a gallon around of milk around in a fucking ridiculous. There you go, son.
It's full too. You
it's
don't have
it. Yeah, fucking.
It's a full gallon of milk.
It is a full gallon of milk.
It's a guy with no kids right there.
Well, all right. Oh, is that for? Well, all right.
You have the Yummy Mummy.
I need the Yummy Mummy. So here, there you hit that one, Sal.
Okay.
You want to put the milk in there now, or?
Oh, no, you put
you
the
always
milk
do the cereal first.
You put the cereal first. Come on, man.
Jesus,
on,
look at the apple pie guy. You guys need to grow up in an Italian household. I didn't eat cereal.
I grew up in an Italian household. Well, my mom
cereal.
Was, you know, they were Americanized.
What
did
you guys have?
Yeah, what was
leftover ravioli in the morning. Come on, you guys. You guys know all that shit.
Seriously? It's probably been enough of that.
Yeah, that's...
All right.
Maybe some Cap'n Crunch in my day, but that's about it.
All right, so we have...
Oh, this...
All right, pour the milk in. I'm going to put the milk away.
That has the orange cream flavor.
Pour some milk in there. Or would you like to add some Soda Shack to the cereal? Or do you think that's
what we should have
done? Hand me the gallon.
There you go. Take your milk.
I'll put this away, and then we'll come back. And...
So these have been off the market for years and years. Fruit Brood. Thoughts, Sal? Now, you don't eat sugary cereals, so...
Skittles is what I...
You're thinking of Skittles? Is that, yeah?
I swear to God, that's the first thing I thought of.
Joel, do you have another spoon here? Was
yeah,
there...
I gave you two spoons.
Oh, it's over there, Sal.
Yeah, I gave you guys two spoons.
All right, thank you.
Tastes like a bunch of Skittles.
Tastes like Skittles. All right. Well, Sal has the Fruit Root, which is a cherry flavor werewolf-themed cereal.
And you have the orange cream Yummy Mummy. Hmm. And I'm eating the blueberry.
That's different than I was thinking.
Good.
You know, this tastes like kind of like Trix.
Yeah. Yeah, Trix has an orange flavor to it, I guess.
Yeah. Now, the Yummy Mummy has a... it's got orange and pink ghosts, and then the marshmallows are kind of...
ours look the same.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same.
All right, somebody trade me for the blueberry. You want to trade me some here?
Here.
There you go.
Try that one. Tell me if you don't taste Skittles right away.
I'm going to try it. See, so I'm having the fruit group.
All right, what's this one you gave me?
That's blueberry. Let's see. Yeah, this tastes like... What does this taste like, this fruit group? This tastes like Trix, kind of, I think.
This tastes like Trix, I think.
Hmm.
You really...
Although the thing with the Fruit Brute is I think the marshmallows are like grape marshmallows, it seems like, because they're sort of purple.
Well, originally, according to the wonderful Wikipedia, mm-hmm. the Fruit Brute marshmallows were lime flavored, but now they're not.
Yeah, they look purple.
The blueberry is like the Soda Shack blueberry. I can't taste anything.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Joel, you want to rotate here? Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow, this is...
Yeah, these look identical. The Fruit Brood and the Yummy Mummies don't look any different.
Yeah, they do.
They taste different.
Let's see. Well. Oh!
I don't know.
I'm Did you have the Yummy Mummy yet, Sal?
You're not liking the Yummy Mummy?
Yeah, I don't think I like these Yummy Mummies. Oh, fuck.
Nah, I'm not.
You're saying that's not yummy.
I don't know if these are.
I think
do
the
well.
Fruit Brute might be the best of the three. Sal, you gotta have this.
They're
yummy.
Just doing it for Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, they're Halloween only.
Have the yummy mummy, Sal.
Well, after about four spoonfuls, it just tastes like a glop of, you know.
I know. It's soggy really quick.
Flavor. Oh, my goodness. That yummy mummy made me Jonas for a soda shack.
Yeah, the yummy mummy or whatever the hell it's called.
It's not good. I'm not a fan of that.
No.
That's why that only had a short original run.
No.
That ran from 87 to 93.
Now, conspicuously absent is the Count Chocula.
Well, I didn't get Count Chocula because that's the one that's always been in production.
Yeah, but I can't get Count Chocula. I mean, we had this conversation a month or so ago about these. And I was like, you know, I looked for Count Chocula the last two times I went shopping. I couldn't even find that. So you said Target carries these. I don't know if you covered that. But
Target has them in the original boxes.
Yeah, these are sort of the throwback.
The throwback boxes. 70s boxes.
Well,
I haven't had cereal in so long.
It's gross.
It's all right. The yummy mummy is horrible.
Yummy mummy is inedible.
Not bad. And the other ones like
I'm
Skittles.
Right out. You want to hand them to me? I'll get them the fuck out of here. So. Yeah. I'm saying I'm going Booberry number one, Fruit Brute number two, and Yummy Mummy. I never want to taste again as long as I fucking live.
Horrible.
I'd rather do comedy in Mansfield, Ohio than eat that.
Let me just make sure.
Yeah, you make sure the Yummy Mummy sucks.
Nah, it's not good.
Not good. Jesus Christ.
I think orange cereal, not a good idea. Have some orange juice. So, Sal, what would a breakfast be like in the D'Amelio household? Like some bacala? What do we have in the morning?
I would have or back in the day
when you were a kid.
My mom would make like we call it frittad, and it's like an omelet.
Okay,
all right, but she'll throw like potatoes in it and peppers, and we would just have like big slices of Italian bread, and that was my breakfast for years, man.
Oh,
it was awesome. I mean, I would have the Cap'n Crunch and stuff. I'm not
sure,
not
but you got like a real traditional old school Italian family.
I mean,
right?
You know, exactly. You know, so
what part of Italy do your folks come from?
It's called Casa Candidelle.
Yeah, well,
which
hey,
is,
hey.
2 hours west of Rome.
Oh, okay.
So it's a small little village town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and near a town, the big town was called Pescata, which is another word for fish,
right?
And it was a fishing border town, or you know, along the water, along
on the
Adriatic
coast. Yeah.
Sea. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just picturing the D'Amelio household.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid, I used to go over to my friend's house, and they'd have, you know, just closets full of Oreos and cookies and cereals, and I'm like, what the hell, man? We got a room full of sauce, and that's all we got, you know.
Maybe a nice capicola, a nice, exactly. Maybe a salami now and then.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
But
take us back to the old country, Sal.
Scenes from an Italian boyhood with Sal D'Amelio.
I mean, you know, so you guys bring cereal in today.
Well,
to
you
me,
know, look, I'm from an Italian
Uncle
family.
Uncle Gino would
well,
come over, we'd roll bones.
You know, I could see, like, you know, I know what you mean, in the morning, whatever was for dinner last night was like there'd be a fresh dinner. But your lunch and your breakfast would always be what was left over.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, like they'd make a new dinner for you.
Yeah.
But if you had chicken parm the night before, that was your lunch, you know. They put it between two slices of bread and I got a chicken parm sandwich or something. Or,
well,
you know, meatballs would be, the leftover meatballs would become a meatball sandwich.
Yeah.
Sometimes it
breakfast is different everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Breakfast is a weird thing. It does, every culture has a different kind of breakfast. The Greeks have like a lot of yogurt and a lot of like,
right?
You know, a German breakfast is like cold cuts and cheese.
Yeah, a lot of breakfasts,
you know,
are meatier. Like, our American breakfast is not very meaty, generally speaking. No.
Usually sausage or bacon, and that's about it.
And occasionally you get ham on stuff, but it's not, you know, the main course. You know,
yeah, unless you're getting the Paul Bunyan breakfast,
right?
And,
yeah, right.
You know. Then you get,
because even if you
ham.
Get the bacon, you get two slices of bacon and like a four egg omelet. So it's always the meat is always on the side.
Yeah.
In an American breakfast.
Correct.
Where in a lot of other breakfasts, it can be the main course.
You know, it's hey. In the movie Don John, which opened this Friday. Oh, here we go.
Go ahead, Corey.
In Don John. Now, Tony Danza plays his dad. And,
Tony Danza, hey! Yeah,
and he's always, like, sitting at the kitchen table. He's, like, the dining room table watching football in a wife beater. And they're always eating, and it's, like, a different pasta each time. They just, you know what I mean? It's just, like, ravioli, and then it's rigatoni. Just a different pasta every time. That's kind of funny.
When I would go to my grandmother's house on, like, a Sunday afternoon, she was never not making pasta. There was always sauce on the stove. Always. No matter what. Like, there would be no occasion whatsoever.
No, it's just...
And sometimes, you know, me and my mom and dad, my brother, we'd go out and we'd eat. And then we'd go to my grandma. And she would know we're coming from dinner.
Sure.
She'd be making pasta.
Yeah.
And she insisted we eat the fucking pasta every time. And there was always a dessert. There was always some sort of cake that she would have picked up somewhere.
It's full-time cooking. My mom will make rolls, like bread rolls.
Yeah.
She can't just make a dozen.
Yeah.
She'll make like 160. There's like 27 trays hanging around the house. She's like, I got to put these in the oven one after another.
It is a different
gas
culture.
Gas bill is $500 a month.
I want to thank you for dispelling stereotypes.
Yeah, but they're stereotypes for a reason. They're, you know, it's...
There's generally a kernel of truth to most stereotypes.
Now, are you a big German? I mean, do you know everything about the German culture?
Not as much, but we had... my grandpa would eat, like, Braunschweiger.
Okay.
Which is like, it's like liverwurst in a tube, basically.
Well,
like,
Char's friend is German.
Yeah.
And we went over her house around the holidays, and we had this like kettle. It was like a liquor or something, and it was heated up and you're supposed to drink it, and it brings good luck. You know what that is?
Was it Glühwein?
Something like that.
That's mulled. It's mulled wine.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. That was cool, man.
That's a wintertime treat.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Glühwein.
You know what is awesome? This is in, like, Alsace. It's kind of an Alsatian thing, but you can get it in other parts of Germany. Mm-hmm. Flammkuchen, which is, like, German pizza. And it's basically just, like, it's like a flatbread oven. They do in a wood fire oven with, like, creme fraiche and ham and onion.
Wow.
And it's awesome. It's great.
Wow.
Flammkuchen. There's
Flammkuchen.
A German breakfast.
Flammkuchen.
Yeah. But it's a lot of... The German breakfast is, like... They'll just bring out a platter of cold, like, sausage and sliced meats. And
stuff. I think I like American breakfast. I think American breakfast is... Because I always find the thing about breakfast for me is that... And, you know, I have a sensitive stomach, and this isn't going back. But I always find that it's the most palatable meal.
Yeah.
Like, it's the least likely, at least in America, to give you heartburn. It's the least likely, you know, it just goes down easy. Like, that's what you want. You want, like, scrambled eggs. Very easy to eat. You know, that's what American, you know, omelets. Very easy to eat. Even like the sausages in that are not, they're not too spicy. They're very mild. You know, you have, you know, it's very, you know, milks and, you know.
It's very, yes.
Yeah, and even very, cereal. Very.
Very mediocre comfort food, which is.
Well, it's just, I think that's what Americans like is that they don't want.
Don't get me wrong.
You don't
I love
be
a waffle
at 9 o'clock in the morning. You, know, you don't want to feel like, oh my God, I gotta go back to bed now.
Well,
I just had breakfast.
But, you know, though, Americans do an absurdly big breakfast compared to a lot of other places. Like, England, Canada, America. This is the we are the kings of sausage, egg, toast, pancake, hash brown.
England will have they'll throw beans in there.
Beans. The traditional English breakfast is like eggs, toast, beans, mushrooms, usually like sauteed mushrooms, and like a sausage. Are you getting hot in here?
Yeah.
Hey, let it loose.
There it is. But let's talk about your trip, because you were, I mentioned this earlier, you were away. Now listen, Corey went, and I know why you went on this trip, because we talked about it beforehand and what you were doing. But looking strictly from your Facebook profile, Corey looked like he was on a fucking dining tour of the, of the northeastern states. Every fucking 3 hours, there'd be a new fucking plate of food up there. And it was like, and I know that's not what you were doing. I know you were not going out strictly to eat your way up and down the East Coast. But that's, I know why you went there. I know you had other business, and you can tell people if you want. But it totally looked, because people would call me, and they're like, what the fuck is Corey doing? He's eating fucking clams every 3 hours. Like he's somewhere eating his giant plate of food.
Yeah, I was.
All up and down. And I'm like, what are you doing?
No, this is a...
Clam chowder.
chowder. I did have some chowder. No, actually, I didn't have any chowder.
No, but you had a... I remember the one thing was a big giant plate of clams.
Yeah, well, they that was actually a big giant plate of... That was a Portuguese restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Portuguese is kind of like Greek in some parts of New England in that it's like... It'll be on the menu at another restaurant. You know what I mean?
Right,
you know what I mean? It's not like a big... They have a lot of Portuguese there.
Yeah.
Which we have none in Michigan, right?
Sure, yeah. So, then no Portuguese.
Well, there's... I saw almost no Arabic stuff.
Sure, yeah.
I saw maybe one Greek restaurant. I didn't see any...
In Michigan, we'll have a shish kebab place every 10 feet.
Yeah.
And a Greek place every 10 feet. An Italian place, but not... Yeah.
We did like... My dad does his unit from Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Does a reunion every year. And... they decided that it's hard. He doesn't want to get on a plane anymore. He's got problems with his inner ear. It's too hard for him to get up and go to the bathroom on the plane, which he's got to do all the time. So, you know what I mean? It's just too much of a hassle.
Right.
So we drove.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, we went along because we ended up doing the driving pretty much. And so, yeah, but we had three days on our own where you just
you and the
around.
Wife could go do what you wanted to do, and that was to go eat Portuguese food.
Well, we went up and down we went all around Rhode Island.
So you were in Providence originally.
Yeah, we were in Providence. We went all around Rhode Island. We went down to Newport, Rhode Island, Bristol, all the way around the Narragansett Bay and the whole thing, and then up to like up by, we didn't actually go all the way around Cape Cod, but we went up a little bit nearby there and stuff and the coast, and it's cool. It's nice over there.
Sure.
It's a beautiful place. When I go to a different town, I want to find what they have.
You're not going to Applebee's.
Yeah, I want to go and find the local flavors.
I'm not putting you down for it, but there was no pictures of boats or the beach. It was all just pictures of fucking food for a fucking week. I'm looking at this going, what is he doing?
Diners, driving.
With
Corey Hall.
I didn't put any beach pictures on.
I don't remember seeing any, but
I think I put them on Twitter.
Did you? Okay. Well, I believe it or not, I don't follow you on Twitter.
Well,
because you're in.
You can follow me at Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
Okay, Corey Hall Comic on Twitter. There he is.
Sal, are you on the Twitter?
So Facebook, Facebook got the food pictures.
Twitter
got the vacation beach fun pictures.
Did I put up the pictures from Gillette Stadium?
I might have seen you outside. You were outside Gillette Stadium.
Gillette Stadium.
Okay. I might have seen
where the Patriots play.
Okay.
So, you're right. No, this is, this was the stuff I was
exactly. Exactly.
And this is like, by the way, this is a Portuguese dish, and it's like a big plate of potatoes and pork.
Nice.
But they throw clams on top of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I know. And it was great. And stuff like that. And
yeah.
So yeah, I did eat my way around there. And,
did you stop like in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and all that?
We stopped in Cleveland. Also we couldn't go through Canada.
Yeah,
passports and all.
I have a passport.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't. Yeah. Well, they can get the enhanced driver's license, but it's an extra $12.
Yeah, but it's
something.
Not even a nice drive when you go up. You know what I mean? Like. The 401
it's very boring. I think going through the states is the way to go.
Was like, oh, well, we're going to be waiting at the border. And
you can see Niagara Falls, which is nice if you've never been.
Yeah.
But, I think going through the states is the best way to go to
New York.
Near
Syracuse.
Hey, there you go. There's some boats and stuff. I guess I just didn't put them up on
there. Okay. All right. There you go.
I
believe you went.
That was when he was on the deck eating.
Yeah, I was eating. I was eating a big clam fritter right there.
That's secretly a picture that was hanging over your table at the restaurant.
I had a thing. We went to this like old man seafood restaurant the first night that we were there in Providence. Just totally like it was on the. It was in like a little inlet harbor, and there was a three or four different like old style seafood restaurants. We had a thing called a stuffy, which is it's like clam stuffing. Basically, like it's like turkey stuffing, but with clam instead of, and clam isn't really that. It has a smell, but it's not really that strong a flavor. It's just kind of salty.
It goes with whatever you put into it.
Yeah,
like in a clam chowder, the clam is just a texture thing. It's not really a flavor.
And so it was like a stuff. It was really good, but they stuff it in back in the shell of the clam.
Oh, okay,
and they're like, "Would you like a stuffy?" pretty much, I discovered most about. I'd never been to Rhode Island before. I'd been to Boston, but New England, it all sounds like a dick joke. Wait, all the towns. Are they're like Woonsocket.
Yeah, okay.
Watchamaucket. There's a town called Coxsackie up in, New York. It all just sounds like some sort of weird sex joke when you pronounce
Scrotumville.
It. Like, yeah, Scrotumville. It's a huge one.
When I was in Chicago, I had a uniquely Chicago treat at Mother Hubbard's. I had their special. You know what that was?
What is that?
It was a grilled cheese sandwich with a cup of soup and French fries.
Well, that is
It was amazing. It was the local. Well, I wanted to soak in the local culture as best I could.
Joel
and so
is not a.
I went. I ate it as the locals eat, Corey.
Well, Chicago is a food town, man.
It is,
Jesus.
I know. But that literally was their special. I went because I had to watch the Lions in a sports bar because it wasn't out in the hotel because it wasn't their local game.
Oh,
so I went to the sports bar that had the Sunday tickets. There was games everywhere.
Sure.
And I said, can you put the Lions on the TV in front of me? And they put the Lions on the big TV in front of me. And I was like, okay. So I'm in Chicago, and I go, I'm going to have the, you know, and I go, oh, grilled cheese. That's the one. Fine. I can have that. You know.
Well, you know how out in L.A. they have, like, bars that are specific for certain cities?
Yeah, they have that in Chicago, too.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, the Lions bars are Michigan State bars. So usually they're Michigan State Saturday and then Lions Sunday.
Okay.
The one was too far from my hotel and it was raining, so I didn't go to it, but I looked them up. Yeah.
Well, I went to the Detroit buyer out in L.A. about 10 years ago, and it was like, there was like three people in the bar.
You know, but they had Coney Islands and stuff.
Fago. It was funny. There was nobody there.
They had a Coney on Hollywood Boulevard until recently.
Oh, did they?
That was that Mike Binder.
Is that closed now?
I closed recently.
Really?
Yeah, but they ran it for a few years. And,
I went to the Detroit Casino in Vegas.
Yeah.
I love that there's a Detroit-themed casino in Las Vegas.
It's way off the strip. It's like on the border of New Mexico almost. It's just way out of the way.
When people go to get away and have the fantasy life experience in Vegas, they really want to have that Detroit feeling.
Well, they got the billboard at Metro Airport promoting it.
Yeah,
that's what I want to do. I want to get out of Detroit and go back to Detroit. That's what my vacation plan is.
And we have casinos.
Fuck the Venetian.
Right, the Bellagio and the Paris. Yeah.
I'm going to the Big D. Right?
That's it. Detroit already has
Coming
casinos.
Soon. Pittsburgh Casino. You can get right in there. I'm staying at the Akron. Yeah, it's a star and a half. It's
I'm staying at
The Pawpaw Casino.
Yeah, I'm at
the Mansfield, Ohio Casino.
Yeah, I'm staying at the Mishawaka. Oh, it sounds nice. Yeah, it's good.
Welcome. Now on the Vegas Strip. Three doors down from Bally's. It's Central Indiana, casino experience. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it is dumb to have a casino named after. I mean, I guess there is a romanticism of like old Detroit and like when the auto industry was at its height.
What's crazy is
the music and all that stuff, but come
half
on.
The building's boarded up. It's crazy. we have casinos here, so it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's recreate the Detroit experience of watching septuagenarians chain smoke their life savings away at the One-Armed Bandits, which you could do at the Greektown Casino anytime.
Yeah,
it is so pathetic.
It's funny that, you know, here's the thing about Detroit, and it's like, you want to, I wish we had a time machine to just go back and look, I'm from 2013. You know this casino vote that you're about to have? It's not going to fucking help. We were sold such a bill of goods about that shit. And it's so obvious now that, you know, that's not the answer. But in the 80s and the 90s, that's all they fucking wanted was casinos.
Well,
it's going to save. It's going to be, we're going to be a metropolis. And, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a destination. And then I guess not realizing that every city would build a casino within, you know, every major city has a casino within like a half an hour of it.
Toledo's got one.
Yeah. I mean there's some outside Chicago. They're in Indiana, but you just go down, they're there.
Yep.
There's some in Ohio. There's some.
There's tribal casinos all over. Gatekeepers, firekeepers.
I mean, I guess you could say that, you know, at one point, had Detroit jumped in earlier, maybe having the casinos would have been a difference maker, or it would have been for a little while. But it just was such a bunch. It was such a bunch of bullshit.
I do think that
it was. So
I do think the casinos generate some tax revenue, which is good,
and they employ some people. And that's
because
fine.
They just fought to keep the tax revenue in this bankruptcy.
Okay, yeah,
because they wanted to just take.
Yeah,
the,
and then as far as shitty one-nighters, casinos are the worst comedy gigs of all time.
The Detroit casinos,
unless you're at the soundboard, or whatever.
Yeah, which
the hell.
By the way,
the Detroit casinos employ absolutely zero Detroit talent.
Yeah,
oh, as
I mean,
far
like,
as, yeah,
there's
yeah,
no
yeah.
gigs. at the
for like, entertainment.
No, I'm talking like, about like Kalamazoo and those casinos.
Yeah, I know.
They're
horrible.
They just put you up in the middle of the casino. You got slot machines
going
on.
The Losers Lounge, yeah.
You've done the horrible
casinos are terrible.
You did the MGM, the Losers Lounge over there.
No, I never did that.
Oh, I did that one. That was as bad as the ones up north, man.
I wouldn't do it. Somebody asked me to do it, and I go, nah.
I did it. I did it with Bill Bouchard, and we both ate shit. They gave us, I mean, it was good money for what it was, and they I think I got $150 in a buffet comp. That was worth $26 that buffet comp.
Well, what's the restaurant right there near Greektown that used to do comedy? The seafood place.
Fishbones.
Remember when they used to do
that
comedy? Everybody would just be eating.
I booked that shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No, I'm guilty. I mean, look, I employ both of you fucks, so don't make fun of me. But
that's true.
No, but I mean, yeah.
I think I did that one when a Red Wing game was going on.
Yeah, probably. And I know Corey brought his family out to that thing. And, you know, that gig was in front of the world's largest indoor waterfall.
Yeah, which was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
It was like, it's in this, it opens up into the casino, this restaurant.
Yeah.
It used to be kind of a, I don't know, they've expanded the restaurant until now it opens up into the courtyard.
Well, it's connected to the
hotel.
It's in the
courtyard of the hotel, which leads into the casino. So it's like a lot of wide open space.
It's a beautiful room.
Yeah.
It's just that when people are eating, they're going, what's that guy doing up on stage? Is he telling Joe? They knew what was going on.
It wasn't like you'd have like a little jazz quartet there playing music and people could eat.
The room
it's a guy going like, hey, have you seen this on TV? Who's buying
Oh, no, casino. Well, here's
Lindstrom scores.
Here's the thing about casinos. Here's the thing about casinos. Comedy is job five there.
Yeah.
It's not job number one.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They don't give a shit about
it. Unless you're the big name act in the room, which you're generally not at these casinos. But sometimes, you know, like they'd have, you know, Carrot Top.
If Don Rickles comes in, they'll care about Don Rickles.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, do your little dick joke, and then we want these people back in the casino.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, and you're just like, all right. I mean, it's just bad.
It's bad
up north,
and it's just
and it's,
the best is when like they don't even wall it off, so you can still hear the people playing the hee-haw slots.
You're literally there so they don't go home. They want those people to stay in the casino, and they put you at that bar that is the one closest to the parking lot. And they go, look, just keep them in the like your whole job is to keep them in the fucking room. You know, it's like, why not just give me tchotchkes to hand out? It'd be a better way. Look, in 30 minutes, I'm about to give away some pen and pencil sets. If you just stick around.
So that's the more casinos, the more bad one-nighters we're going to have, even more.
Yeah, I mean, casinos.
The Elks Lodge is the Bellagio.
Casinos were such a fucking scam on the city. It was such a fucking ripoff. I mean, I know there's guys, I know people that work at casinos, and they make decent money and stuff, and that's fine, but it just hasn't brought the money. You know, I mean, the money.
I think it was oversold. I think it does employ people. I think it gives people the things to do. If they come down for a Tigers game, they'll probably go hit the casino.
People always say, like...
But it's not putting the money back into the streets the way
it's not helping the children of the... Like, for example, like, they say, like, you know, like, if Detroit gets a Super Bowl, okay, it's going to... And we had a Super Bowl, whatever, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It's going to bring in, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, but, like... Did we see any of the hundreds of millions?
No,
we didn't see
the problem with this, any kind of economic development like this.
Because we don't own a hotel.
Is that
we didn't see the money.
The money is invisible to us. We don't see it necessarily. And they sold it like, we're going to have an entertainment district.
Yeah.
And originally, they were going to put all the casinos together on the riverfront.
Yeah, that was the plan.
We've never done anything
but
to
that
the
didn't work.
Yeah.
That didn't work. And so they're scattered. The casinos aren't even near each other. They're in three different spots.
They're in three different spots.
And so people just come in, and they're all, by the way, they all have convenient freeway access. So
it's a casino.
People drive in from up north or wherever the hell they come from, and all over Oakland County and Wayne County, and they come in, Macomb, they come in, get to the casino, and leave.
Right. You're not going to walk around the neighborhood around Motor City Casino.
No.
They'll fucking steal your wallet.
This is exactly. That's the point. That has not developed that neighborhood at all.
Yeah.
No,
MGM Grand is right on the edge of downtown, so that's
right.
Not
Greektown is in the middle of Greektown, but still,
but the Motor City Casino, There's nothing
around
that. Nothing around Motor City.
And it, except the freeway. Yeah. People get off the freeway, go to Motor City Casino. It has not created restaurants. No. It has not created spinoff business.
It's
there is
funny.
All that stuff.
You
all that stuff
through,
is going
you have to go
on.
Through a horrible neighborhood to get to it.
All of the development that is going on, all the new restaurants and bars that are opening in Detroit are not near the casinos.
No.
Except maybe Greek Town, whatever.
The Greek Town, yeah.
Greek Town was already populated and was already busy. And all that casino's done is knock down a couple buildings so they could build more walkways.
Yeah, it's
we do have the biggest Buffalo Wild Wing down there.
Oh.
That's what I heard.
Is that the one down by Greek Town?
Yeah.
It's okay. The headquarters of Buffalo Wild Wing.
I had three levels. So let me run down there right now. I'm sorry. I got to go, guys. That's it for Joel Radio. I need to get my BW3 on.
It is the douchiest of all the Buffalo Wild Wings. That
three
place.
Levels. That's what I
if
need.
If you want ranch on top of your ranch, if you want to, we got ranch buttered chicken fingers.
Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings is a place you go, and it's just never, the atmosphere is never great. I mean, you could go and watch the game, and I would go and watch.
I hate them.
I'll watch UFC sometimes because they're the only ones that'll be playing it. If I don't want to buy it at home for $55, I can go down there. But it's just like, it's always a fucking clusterfuck.
Everything they have is deep fried.
Yeah.
It's all, and then they screw up, like, they screw that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not even good.
Yeah.
And it's, everything is like ranch, and then there's honey mustard.
Yeah,
ranch,
exactly. Yeah.
And then there's jalapeno ranch. And then there's breakfast egg ranch.
It's a
and
weird, yeah,
bacon and lime
and
ranch.
Like,
yeah. Yeah,
like you don't even have girls with big tits serving us this shit. You know, it's not even.
Asian it's all
even,
kids.
Yeah,
too.
It's a ton of kids. It's a weird. Yeah,
and then you go into the bar area, and it's like, but you know, like on the other side of the wall,
right.
is this 8-year-old little league team? That's
right.
Their, you know. It,
oh,
it
I don't
sucks.
Want children in my bar.
Yeah,
can we,
exactly.
Can we not
yeah.
have that,
yeah,
please?
That's a weird thing. Yeah, those places are very odd. Like, they're not even good. They're not good sports bars. They're not good casual dining restaurants.
I would only go there under duress. like I've
last
been,
option.
I mean, I've been to Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah.
I've been to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
But it was never my idea.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. It was never my idea.
Sometimes those are where, like if you have to have you have to meet somebody somewhere.
Yes.
And it's something you can easily agree upon. All right, we'll go to Buffalo
Wild Wings. TGI Friday.
Yeah. It's
a last resort
type
thing.
Yeah. Like, I was signing a contract with one of the guys I book with, and I go, you just name, and I tell the guy, and I'm trying to be easy. I go, look, you name the place I'm there. And the guy goes, well, meet me at Hooters. In the middle of the fucking afternoon, I got to go to Hooters now. I was like, all right. So I went to Hooters. It was just like, that's another weird kind of
15-year-old girl.
Yeah. And it's
Hooters
like,
sucks too.
Hooters sucks too. But at least Hooters is kind of like, I mean, I guess
it's
we want to
than Buffalo Wild
it's
Wings.
Definitely better than Buffalo Wild Wings. I think their food is better. And I think it's got a vibe to it. Now it's a shitty, cheap, tawdry vibe to it, but at least it's something. It's not trying to be like a jack of
have
all
you
tries.
Been to the Tilted Kilt?
I have not, but those are the same thing, though, right?
It's the same thing, but yeah.
It's Hooters, but they
class.
Wear skirts.
They wear a little skirts. Yeah, great. God, we took me, you, and I don't know if she was she wasn't your wife at this point. Remember, we were going to a movie once, and we went over to some. It wasn't even a theme. I don't think it was a theme place.
Yeah.
But it was like these girls were basically wearing little skirts and fishnets and. Your wife
what
lost her fucking mind. It was something over at the not the town center, Novi, but the Fountain Walk.
Oh, it was the Lucky Strike.
The Lucky Strike. Oh.
His wife
lost her fucking mind at the Lucky Strike.
She looks at Hooters like it's a concentration camp.
Absolutely, yeah.
She looks like she wants
she
to.
She can't.
She wants to, like.
She's such a feminist that
no,
she can't.
Hooters is like the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
She wants to blow it up. Like, anytime she sees a Hooters,
that's
she's
awesome.
Like, we need to break it down. Can't we have respect?
His wife. And then I think we were just like, we had like an hour to kill. And I think we wanted some food, and we're just like, and I think it was literally like we didn't want to go to the Hooters that was next door to it, so we went to this other place, and it was like a girl in a tiny little plaid dress, and she was. Like,
I like when
she was so.
Yeah, well, that mall is all it has the Hooters, Tilted Kilt, Lucky Strike. It's all, and then there's like a sushi restaurant.
Yeah,
it's all just girls exposing their coochies.
Now they got a new bar that just opened up there called Stayin' Alive.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that's in that same complex. That's like a boogie, like an 80s, really? 70s,
oh,
80s.
Oh, God. Oh,
good God.
Dance bar. And
yeah, because you live out that way. That's
we go to Bar Louie there.
Okay,
there's a Bar Louie there.
Bar Louie is okay. It's not, that's like decent compared to the other
one.
It's
not bad. I like because they got TVs every square inch.
Yes,
and
I went to the one in Boston. I went to in Boston at Gillette Stadium. They basically have a mall attached to the stadium.
Okay.
Wow.
It's kind of like Partridge Creek.
Okay.
At the, you know, right on top of the stadium. So we ended up going to the Bar Louie there, and that was not bad. But, yeah, here we go. There's
all right, so.
Gillette Stadium.
There it is.
You can see there's my
catalog.
Nice. You need a flash on your phone.
I know,
there
I
you
do.
Go. I had a lobster bisque here at this place, and then I went over.
You know what
here,
was great?
Boston.
I did put up a picture. You know what was great at the like Reebok store in Patriots Place? They were selling Hartford Whalers merch.
Okay, well, wow. they're
and I'm like, that franchise has been gone for like 12 years.
They're a forgotten.
But there's fucking diehards that are like,
yeah, there are.
I love my
the
whale.
Quebec Nordiques.
The
whale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the whale.
Still buying whales gear.
Well, they were, awesome. But they were a thing where I know, like the ESPN guys, all were like season ticket holders because it was their only major sports anywhere in that area, and so they all had season tickets. So they were very popular amongst like those group of guys. And then I think even when they moved to Carolina, that a lot of those people were still fans of the franchise.
There's diehards that still. Well, you know, Winnipeg kept the fire going until they brought back the Jets.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and you never know.
Well, and then the Quebec fans, they're bitter. The Nordiques fans.
Well, they're
French. Started the whiteout thing, remember? They were the first ones to do everybody
but when
wear
they
white.
Became,
cool.
But it was that. Then they became the Colorado Avalanche, right? Not the Nords. Was it the
The Nordiques became the
Avalanche. And those people fucking lost their mind when they went to Colorado.
How is there no hockey in Edmonton?
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it, man.
It's such a weird thing where like the Canadian. But you know what? I think it might be different now because of the economy. You know, if you've been to Canada, our dollar's worth less than theirs.
I know.
I was just there. I got 96 cents for my fucking American dollars. And it's just like, I mean, geez, it's like everything's topsy-turvy.
Well, the two places I would think, why is there no hockey in Seattle?
I don't know.
That seems like
right.
You'd have a natural rivalry with Vancouver.
Yeah, you should just get rid of the Supersonics and
the Sonics are gone.
Sonics.
Oh, they are gone. Okay,
and
good.
They were going to build a dual arena for both of them to try and bring a hockey team the Sonics back. And somehow the league decided that Sacramento was where they wanted their NBA franchise.
But it was all those years, you know, the North Stars had to move out of Minnesota. It's like, that's a huge hockey. I mean, I know they have the Wild now, but that's such a huge hockey place.
I know.
How do you move out?
You know, white people just will not support their sport. And I feel like white people.
You feel like black people should support hockey, or what is your theory here?
Well, I'm just saying, white people are not loyal.
Well, Los Angeles doesn't have football, right?
Yeah, they don't
technically
have football. They're going to build a stadium, and I guess the idea is that, I don't know if the NFL has officially agreed to give them a team in some way.
Give them
they move the Chargers or the Jags. I mean, that's talked about.
Yeah.
You know, if that Khan guy will move the Jags over there.
Get him out of here.
But
why is he owning a club?
Because he's a rich guy.
Jeez.
You know, he owns businesses here in Detroit.
Yeah. They own Khan, something
everywhere. Flexengate. It's over by you. That guy owns that.
Oh, well, good.
You know, at 14 in Coolidge.
Okay.
That's his business. Oh. Yeah.
The rumor I've heard,
what's that?
Unconfirmed, is that the Pistons are going to be up for sale again.
Oh.
He's only owned it for what?
He's a flip artist.
Oh.
He comes in and renovates.
Sal, you interested in the Pistons? I don't know. I you know.
Well, I'll have to check my bank account.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, sell some Soda Shacks.
Let me go see what my available funds are.
So you're saying if we pack the Wyandotte Comedy Club this weekend, there's a chance that
I would fire Dumars, though.
Corey,
he's had his day.
I think me and you, Sal, throw our funds together.
Throw a couple bucks in.
Maybe we get like a big hitter like a Bill Hildebrandt, which is appreciate money.
Sure.
Maybe we eat chips in, and I think we're on our way.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some.
Maybe we'll get Dustin Diamond.
we'll do what Jay Leno did. We'll just have everybody come for free to see the Pistons for the first couple games.
Well, I mean, you got to believe somebody's going to buy the Pistons. I mean, even if it's a guy from outside.
Why doesn't Isaiah Thomas or a guy like that buy it? You know what I mean?
Johnson. The problem is Isaiah Thomas doesn't really have the money to buy it.
But he could get the people.
It.
I mean,
as long as Eminem doesn't get involved, with some. I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, you know, all
that's
those,
an unconfirmed rumor, but I've heard
that the Pistons are for sale. But I mean, the guy can't be making money on the Pistons. I mean, I don't know what their team.
They're actually going to be decent.
You think
this
they're going to be good
this
year? But I mean, last year they were giving away. You know,
they were
like,
they were bringing in
they were bringing in
MC Hammer,
right?
And New Edition,
right? And they were at Star Wars night, and they have all these themes.
They had suites for $300.
Gladys Knight came.
Get a suite for $300.
Was it $300 for a suite? Right?
Yeah, like four. You could put like six people in them, you know.
Yeah. And I like those guys. I mean, I've done shows for the Palace Sports and Entertainment people at Meadowbrook, and I did one at the Palace for them. And they're real nice people, and they're considered a state of the art entertainment company in that. And it's and it's like the one thing that because their basketball team's just no good. You know, they have the greatest facilities and everything, and then it's like. Yeah, you can't get a team.
You know, we aren't that long removed from when the Pistons went to like four Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I know.
And 2004, won a championship. They won it. So,
we've spent so much time talking about sugary breakfast cereals.
I know, because I got some movie reviews.
We didn't even get into Breaking Bad hysteria. Oh.
You got to go. Sal's got to go.
Sal's got to roll.
All right, I'll let you guys do that.
All right, we'll do all that. But thank you, Sal, for coming out.
Sal,
thank you, guys. Thanks. I had a freaking blast, you guys.
Sal, you're one of the good guys in comedy, which makes you kind of like a green-eyed Asian. You're very rare and special.
Yeah, we always love having Sal here.
Don't worry, Corey. I'll book you. Don't worry.
Like the great white buck of the forest. No.
Nah, thanks, you guys, man. I always have a good time.
All right, Sal. Thanks.
Hilarious.
All right. All right.
And there it is. A sad farewell.
Yeah. There
buongiorno. Arrivederci, America.
Just when you get on terrestrial radio, remember.
Yeah, one of these days. The melancholy theme for Sal. All right, Sal. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. It's always good having Sal here, isn't it?
Yes,
Sal's always
lovely. Sal.
That's a good fella right there. He's a friend of ours.
He's one of us. Friend of ours. You like him. He's a good fella.
Isn't that what the what does it say? La Cosa Nostra.
Yes.
But that's the La Cosa Nostra. I think is the family way, right? Isn't that what that is?
Yes.
Yeah. A good fella is a friend of ours. Anyway,
if there was a mafia, that is how they would speak. But as we all know, the mafia is a myth.
This imaginary mafia you speak of, Corey.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, so I got some...
How do you organize crime? Crime is by its nature a chaotic act.
Do you... I saw a bunch of movies.
I just pictures of Sal's breakfast table.
Oh, yeah.
I just pictured, like, hams hanging from the ceiling. And,
well, my uncle's got that. My uncle hangs his... He dries his... he makes his own salamis.
Yeah.
And they hang in the garage.
Yeah.
So if you come in, he's drying all of his sausages out in the garage. Yeah, there's that.
I just pictured Sal's kitchen like lattice with vines hanging off it, and like you know kegs of wine mounted up above the sink.
Just they're very old country. Because see, my family is Italian, you know, very Italian. But you know, some of the the kids didn't like my dad's house that he grew up in was super Italian, but then their kids it got progressively less.
They came here.
So, they came
here, and some people come here and go,
yeah,
I'll be good. I don't want to be. Some people come in.
They want to be American.
They step away from their ethnic identity.
Well, my aunt, I was talking to my aunt the other day about, you know, how come, you know, because people always ask me why my dad doesn't have a terrible Italian accent. So I was talking to my aunt about that, and I said, well, you know, you guys and my dad and his brothers and sisters, well, you guys don't have an accent. You were all born in Italy, and you lived over there, and you spoke Italian, you know. Till you were 10 years old, whatever. So why do you not have an accent? She says, because when we came here, we decided to be American, and we didn't want to talk Italian to each other. We wanted to speak English. We wanted to be like American people. And some people come here, not just Italians, but from wherever you're from, they want to come here, and they just want to live that whole life of the old country in America. And so everything is as it is back home. They try to recreate Italy, or they try to recreate Mexico.
Well, this is why
from.
I know Asian guys that are named Austin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gary.
Yeah,
and Andy. Right. Yeah. These are all Asian.
Well,
guys.
Because the Asian guys get it. They go, "Hey, look, we're not going to be that." So my family, you know, had kept some of the traditions of the old country, but then they decided that they wanted to be American. Then, so they.
I've tried to make this into a bit that hasn't worked yet. I still have to keep trying it.
Yeah.
Where I just talk about how, who told Chaldeans that the guys with the spinning rims around the country.
Right. Yeah, I know.
They come in here and they dress like they're fucking in a rap video.
I've been trying
to get that bit to work.
But I think that is a thing where, you know, the longer the ethnicity has been in the country, the more, the less of that there is. You know what I mean? Chaldeans is only, you know, they've only been in the country
for a generation
maybe. You know, with Italians, now you're going back to, you know, turn of the century.
Came here in the 1890s.
Yeah, sure. All that stuff. So, you know, my family came in the 1950s. But, again, the progression is still much more than you would have with a lot of immigrants. So, anyway. Like I was talking about movies. Do you want to do new TV?
I think there's so much TV we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
I think the premieres are still happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Shows like Big Fun Night. Is that what that is?
Yeah, with the Rebel Wilson show that Conan
That hasn't come out yet. So some new shows have started.
Right.
And I know last year we did the big thing with Matt McClowry that laid flat as a brick.
Yeah, that might have been two seasons ago. I'm not sure. Okay. But anyway, whatever we did about which shows were going to get canceled.
We're not going to do that because...
Well, I'll do my own. Here's my game. The Millers gets canceled. There's my thing. This fucking Millers. we might have talked about it on the last show because they did these, you know, trailers that you could watch on demand. This Will Arnett show, The Millers. Mm-hmm. It starts Thursday. It's on after Big Bang Theory, which God knows that could be a big spot. But they also got rid of that that show with, what's his name, from Flight of the Conchords. What's his name? Murray.
Oh, Murray from...
Yeah. He was on that show with... Gentleman or whatever that was.
It's a tough...
And they got rid of that right...
Rules of Being a Gentleman.
Yeah, and they got rid of that right away. And that was on after Big Bang Theory.
See, this is the problem. You have to guess which horrible show will get canceled.
Sure.
And which horrible show, like Two Broke Girls,
will become a giant phenomenon. Yeah.
And that's where it gets hard. I can look at a schedule and go, that's a piece of shit. That's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Determining which piece of shit will rise to the top.
Well, it's hard to say. So, yeah, maybe we can table our television conversation until next time. I'm okay because I've watched, like, returning shows that I liked, you know, like Parks and Rec and Boardwalk Empire and Survivor and Amazing Race, but I haven't really seen a lot of these. I fell asleep during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I know is not for me anyway because I'm an adult, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looked like something that should be on, like, Saturday morning to me. It really had low production value.
Well, they went to Paris.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It looked very cheap to me, and I was bored with it. But
brief summary I will give for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The premise is okay, but the characters did nothing to, like, step out.
It just looked like, you know, they put all these digital effects in, but it nothing really integrated for me. It didn't feel like a complete, you know, it didn't feel like, hey, it's the Avengers TV show, like, with that sort of production value. And I think a lot of people were expecting this to be...
The other problem is they're like, it's the Avengers and it's all about Thor and Iron Man and Captain America. Let's do the show about the guys who work in the office.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Pick up behind them.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Which is not as exciting.
I know. But it's sort of the premise they're selling it as, here's that Marvel weekly series that's going to be, but it's not.
It's not going to have the spectacle.
It is. And it'll probably be a hit anyway because,
I will give that one a few. The weird thing with me is I won't watch a cop procedural show most of the time, but I will watch something with a sci-fi element.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, Fringe was a show, but to me, even Fringe and, you know, I'm basing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on one episode, but to me, it just didn't even feel like it had the same production value as something like Fringe. Like, it just didn't feel, it just felt more generic, and
it
felt canned.
The characters are boring.
Yeah, it just didn't feel...
I think the best thing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could do is kill off all of these agents and replace them with a new... No, just swipe them clean and
yeah, you know, it's...
Speaking of swiping the slate clean, a returning show, which we've discussed ad nauseum on this program before, but we both watched this.
What's that?
Saturday Night Live had its debut with a new cast.
You know, listen, the problem with that is, you know, everybody was a new castmate that everyone hated at some point. No matter who the person is, at some point everyone went like, oh, that Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, they're terrible. You know,
it's so, well, everybody. Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray
came on Saturday Night Live.
I know,
and people went, oh, fuck this guy.
Fuck this guy. We're supposed to watch this Eddie Murphy guy. Who the fuck is that? You know, I mean, everybody has that buried overcome. I mean, occasionally guys do come on the show, like Adam Sandler came on and he was sort of famous already. Chris Rock was sort of famous already when they got the show. Billy Crystal.
Not so much.
But they were known stand-ups. Billy Crystal was famous, but Chris Rock was a known stand-up commodity. Tracy Morgan was a known stand-up commodity. Adam Sandler was a known stand-up guy when they got these shows. Janine Garofalo was known stand-up when they got the show. But, you know, these people, so you don't really know.
These are people from, like, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, they're so green, and it's hard to tell. I mean, that girl, Kate McKinnon, who started last year, I think she's their star now. I think she's the female star of that
show.
She's
their Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she is going to be that new thing, and she's good, and I like her, and I think she's good. And the rest of it, I mean, who really knows? I mean, I guess it's more work for Jay Farrow, but I guess Bobby Moynihan becomes a bigger star.
Yeah.
You know, Keenan is a,
well,
because, you know,
the old cast is officially gone.
Yeah, I mean.
Because Sandberg's gone, Jason Sudeikis, and Fred Armisen finally
left. Fred Armisen overstayed his welcome.
Oh,
but
God,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, the ones that are there that are returning, you know, Taron Killam is probably going to get more screen time. Seth Meyers is there, I think, for another like 5 months or whatever until
they're very young.
His talk show until he does late night.
It's a very
so
young
they're very
show
young,
again.
And it could go anywhere. And look, SNL on its best day, you know, every third sketch hits. I thought this Tina Fey one had like one funny sketch to me, and that was the Arcade Fire, a new cast member, which sort
well,
of
they,
was self referential.
I liked that they drew attention to it and said, "We've got a bunch of new cast," but they hired there's six new cast members.
Yeah.
There's six featured players.
Right.
A little overkill.
Yeah.
Because you already have an established
Well,
because
they
cast.
Know they're it's sort of a shotgun approach because they know they're not all going to make it.
Well, don't hire three featured players.
Whatever.
I mean, but
yeah.
There's six new featured players.
But all those guys got promoted, right? Isn't Jay Farrow no longer a featured player?
Right, right. Well, you've got
main cast.
Vanessa Bayer, Jay Farrow, right. Bobby Moynihan, Keenan's still there.
Yeah.
Which is, this is the longest the show's ever had two black guys, I think.
We have the fat black guy and the skinny black guy.
Why is that?
Versatile.
Yeah. It's true. They could play.
One guy does Obama and the other guy does everybody, you know.
I'm trying to think of black comedy teams and all I can think of is Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, they got the Keenan part down on that
or
one. But
Leroy and Skillet. But yeah. Those guys are both fat.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, look, Saturday Night Live is, people have rose-colored glasses when they look
Bill
back.
Bill Hader left, too.
Bill Hader left, yeah. I mean, they lost a lot of their...
the veteran cast.
Yeah, a lot of the veterans are gone,
so,
but,
yeah.
You know, I think they're going to be fine. Like, you should never panic with SNL. Even when SNL had a cast where it was all stars, they had lousy sketches. I mean, you can watch Norm and David mm-hmm. Spade and those guys do some awful, awful, yeah. awful thing, and Farley and those guys. So listen.
Oh, it's I'll tell you what. While you still can,
yeah,
because it's all going to go to Yahoo, and I don't know how that setup's going to.
Yeah,
work.
I don't know either.
But Netflix and Hulu have like all the Saturday Night Lives.
Yeah,
and I was watching some of the old ones
because mm-hmm.
I'm a little fascinated by the real disaster seasons.
Yeah,
in that show.
Yeah.
And I watched the 1980 when the original cast left, and they brought in Joe Piscopo, mm-hmm. and Gilbert Gottfried, mm-hmm. and Charles Rocket.
Yeah.
And Anne Risley. Do you guys remember her? Huh?
No, they don't.
Oh, God. And I'm Gail Mathias. And I watched some of those. Sweet Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
There is a sketch that is the worst sketch in the history of Saturday Night Live. Malcolm McDowell hosted. And some of it was kind of like they did a weekend update. And he played. This is like 3 months before John Lennon died.
Yeah.
And he played John Lennon and Yoko.
Okay.
And like they were doing talk to him on weekend update.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like. Oh, and I'm just drinking cocoa because Yoko's loco for my cocoa.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this was the highest
that
laugh
was
of the joke. But they did a
the
sketch.
Height of comedy.
They did a sketch where they were going commie hunting mm-hmm. and they were like hillbillies with rifles. And they're like, well, if you shoot, and I swear to God, this is a line of dialogue. And they're like, well, if you shoot a nigger or a Jew, that's double points.
Right.
And the audience went flatline.
Yeah.
It was the biggest bomb I've ever seen on that show. So there's always worse.
Yeah.
Know your history. The shit, you're right.
Right, you can't.
Bill Murray choked his dick on that show for the first half of the second season, and then he did a sketch where he went, I'm not making it on the show.
There's you know, there's a familiarity that people need to have with those characters and with those actors. before they really, you know, it's sort of like when you do stand up, it's like, you know, you want to open with something big so you can establish that you're funny.
Right.
And once you establish that you're funny, the audience can relax and sort of enjoy what you're doing. And that's where they're at right now.
You know, so. Tina Fey came on and she's right. She doesn't have a character.
Yeah, she didn't have.
She said that in her monologue. Yeah, I don't really have a character. And other than Sarah Palin,
yeah,
she didn't have a character that she
right,
did.
Yeah. And
so it wasn't like she couldn't go do the Target lady or whatever and get a cheap pop.
Yeah.
Well, so who knows?
And she brought nothing.
Tina Fey spent the whole night going, "Hi, I'm Tina Fey.
Yeah, it was
look
like,
at me in the
yeah,
sketch."
I know.
So
yeah,
the girls parody was that was decent.
Really? I didn't think that was very
good. You
didn't
like that?
I mean, I liked that some of the, like, Vanessa Bayer doing Shoshana was funny. Because there was some of the impressions were okay. But, yeah, I didn't care for Tina Fey's Hungarian tourist.
No, you didn't enjoy that.
You know, exchange student.
That sounded, it was kind of like a 30 Rock premise that they
yeah,
did
it
in the
was,
sketch.
It was okay.
All right, let's movies did you want to talk
well,
about?
Well, I watched some stuff on, like, Video On Demand and some stuff that's streaming, so... But it's all great stuff. I don't know if you've even seen any of these. Let me do this. It's documentaries.
Okay.
In fact, they're all documentaries. Right. I had a documentary day the other day. I watched three documentaries. The first thing I watched was something called Good Old Frida. You know what that's about?
No, what is that about?
Good Old Frida is about Frida Kelly, who was the Beatles fan club secretary.
Okay.
And the reason it's interesting to watch a documentary about her is that she's never told her story about the Beatles. And she would be the one that would answer all the Beatles fan mail. She would have the guy sign all the stuff, anything. If people wanted a lock of John's hair, she would go to the barbershop and get John's hair, you know, and stuff.
Okay.
So she never told her story. She never was in any of the Beatles books or anything. Like, and she was in the inner circle. She was hired by Brian Epstein when she was 17 years old out of the Cavern Club as a fan.
Okay.
And she's, you know, she's in her 60s now, and she's never, maybe even in her 70s now, but she's never told her story anywhere. So she did this documentary, and she was, like, really intimately, like, very, very inner circle. She also did a lot of the, like, the wrangling of the parents.
Okay.
That whenever the parents needed to be involved in some Beatles stuff,
mm-hmm.
she would go over and hang out with them. She would take fan mail over there.
She'd go over to Aunt
Mimi was
Aunt
John's.
Aunt Mimi, like, yeah, John's.
And it's all in like Ringo's mom. Like, here's a funny story she tells in it about, like, Ringo joins the Beatles, and he says to Frida, he says, "Look, I need, my mom is getting, they're sending fan mail to the house. My mom needs help doing it. Can you go over to my house and help my mom answer the fan mail?" She goes, "Okay." So she goes over to Ringo's mom's house. There's 9 pieces of mail for Ringo.
Oh, really?
And the mom was overwhelmed, and she's like, "I felt bad for Ringo that he was getting 9 pieces of mail, and John Lennon was getting 200 a day."
Sure.
And, you know, because Ringo wasn't popular in 1963.
She had to handle all the jelly
babies.
So
she went and helped Ringo's mom. So there's a lot of little touching stories. She does mention that, because the guy, I guess, whoever's interviewing her asked her, you know, like, "Did you ever, you know, date the Beatles?" She goes, "Well, you know, some stories are better kept private, so I'm pretty sure they..."
She fucked all of them.
I think she fucked, yeah.
There you go.
Well, no, well, listen.
There's the story.
I don't know that that's true. Paul fucked the shit out of her. I think that we can pretty much... Because there were things where, like Paul would walk her home, and it would be in the paper that Paul and her were dating. And she goes, "Paul and I never dated like that." But when they show pictures of her as a young girl, you can kind of see she was, like... She was kind of a looker back then, you know. Sure. But it's really great because she actually worked.
She probably did not fuck Ringo, but you know,
poor Ringo. But she actually worked. She ran the Beatles fan club. They shut it down in 1972, so she worked all those years from like 62 to 72, and did all this. And in fact, she took she closed the fan club down in 72, and then took another 2 years to answer all the fan mail. So it's really a pretty amazing story of somebody.
So the bit
who was
where,
like,
Ringo sends Marge the letter for her painting. We're not to believe that.
So it was a really cool movie, and
all right.
They used they actually, you know, I guess it was somewhat semi-authorized Beatle thing, because they had like 4 or 5 of the real Beatle songs in it, and then they used you know, you would hear "Anna Go to Him" as sung by somebody else. So they had some of that in there, too. Like,
did they have the Arthur Alexander version of it?
I can't remember, but they did use some of the real Beatle music, and they had all the, you know, the footage that you would want of the Beatles in their day. So it was really good. If you're a Beatles fan, I think it's definitely worth checking out.
And where would the people
find
that?
Good Old Frida. Now, this I had to get on Amazon Instant Video, because it's one of those things it's in theaters in a few spots. It's doing festivals. It's been out for a while, but you can definitely rent it from Amazon Instant Video, iTunes, probably your cable video on demand, too. So that was... documentary I want to watch. And speaking with the rock and roll theme, there's another thing that I've wanted to see for years, was Ain't In It For My Health, a film about Levon Helm, okay. which was something that I think they primarily shot this in like 2010, but it only came out since Levon Helm died. And of course, Levon Helm from the band, and it was a lot about how he had his midnight rambles at his, he had this big house in Woodstock.
Right.
And he would invite all these musicians to come up and play
with
him.
Was that actually Big Pink?
I don't know if it was Big Pink, but it's the same town. Okay. I don't know if it's the same house. It probably isn't. But anyway, Levon would have all these musicians over, and then they flash back to the band days, and they talk about all of that, and they show Levon touring nowadays, or you know, back then in 2010. And you know, the main point is that Levon's very bitter about the band. Levon's upset that he was the premise in this.
Was he upset that Robbie took all
okay.
the money?
Robbie wrote all the songs. Okay, yeah. Levon's premise is okay. Levon was the only guy in the band that was from, he was from Arkansas, I believe, or Alabama. I'm not sure.
The rest of them were Canadian.
The rest of them were Canadian, and his point is like, and they actually have to get the band's biographer, the guy who wrote the book about the band, to come on and say this, and he's like, how can Robbie Robertson write The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down?
Mm-hmm.
He was writing songs in Levon's voice for Levon to sing, and yet Levon didn't get publishing. And so Levon's pissed at Robbie. Now, I agree that that's probably the deal, is that, you know, without Levon being in the band, Robbie probably wouldn't have written Up on Cripple Creek.
Rag, and, Mama, Rag.
And, yeah. and The Weight and those things. Mm-hmm. Those are very Southern kind of songs, and they're all about, you know, places down in
but
Mississippi.
But this was not a collaborative situation.
It
this
wasn't. Robbie was the sole songwriter. And you know, and I get
isn't that kind of the problem with the Kinks, too, is that the Davies brothers argue about who wrote what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of get, I don't know, they're very mad at, you know, and Robbie was the guy that wanted to do the last waltz, and the other guys really wanted to stay together, and they, so it's a lot of that, and it's just like, Levon doesn't have enough money to pay for this house, so he had to start the Midnight Ramble, which were these concerts, to raise money, and then they show Levon touring, and
yeah.
Levon's, he had throat cancer, and they show him getting his throat examined, and he's sick and he has to miss the show. Well, he doesn't have enough
money. So it sounds like a real uplifting good time.
Well, it's one of these things that here's this great, like, rock and roll icon who hates his own past enough to where it's adversely affecting his life and those around him. So it's like this portrait of sort of a complicated
guy. The Ginger Baker documentary had a little bit of that feel.
I mean, you do come off really, really liking Levon. He comes off as, like, the coolest guy in the world, and, like, his daughter sings with them, and everybody seems to love Levon, but his legacy with the band is a sore spot for him. And, of course, he feels like he got screwed out of money. And they invite him. They give the band's Lifetime Achievement Award at the Grammys.
Oh, there you go.
And Levon doesn't go. I'm kind of spoiling the.
Well, you.
But it's one. It's just one.
Gave
point.
It all away.
But Levon is deciding, should I go, should I not go? And Levon's like, you know, it's just a way for them to sell fucking records. It's not really honoring us. It's a bunch of bullshit. So he's a guy that sort of hates the industry and is bitter, but yet does.
You never see that in a music documentary.
But he's this guy that his current work, you know, his Midnight Rambles and his tours are like these amazing spectacles of music. And he does Atlantic City from Bruce Springsteen, and he does all the band stuff. And it's great. And he's like, you know, he's a guy that is like recovering from cancer, you know, and he's like singing awesome. And it's great. And the music's great. It's really good documentary. In fact, if you're like good old Frida, you kind of, like, the more of a Beatles fan you are, you'll like it. Like, you don't even have to be a band. Like, I think this is a really good just documentary in general. Even if you're not a huge fan of the band I am, I think you'd still like this Ain't In It For My Health. And that's available on Netflix right now. So you can get, if you got
okay.
Netflix,
all right,
you can go home and watch that. And that's,
I'll take a look.
It was on video on demand, but that's definitely real good. And then the third documentary I watched these all on the same day because I was a mental patient, but, Deceptive Practice, The Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay was the other thing.
I
remember this might have even played briefly in Detroit this spring because it was touring and all this stuff.
He was pimping it on a lot of
Yeah, he was
shows.
On all these talk shows, and that's kind of how Ricky Jay got famous, was doing a lot of talk shows. And this is really a straight-ahead documentary. There's really not, because Ricky Jay has done these HBO specials and TV things where it's a lot of performance, and they show clips of those, but there's really only a couple very brief card tricks that are sort of new to this movie. It's really a documentary about his life, and a very interesting life because he learned from all the old masters of magic. And he was around, like, because he was a little kid and his uncle was a magician. So his little kid would take him to hang out with Di Vernon and Charlie Miller and some of these, you know. Now, I'm a real magic nerd, and I think that helped with this movie. But anyone could watch this and like it. I think the more you're into magic, the more you'll enjoy it. Because they have you know, Cardini is in it, and he learned from Cardini. Do you even know who Cardini is?
I don't know.
You probably don't know Sly Dini. There's all the Dinis.
No, I don't.
But Cardini is this, like, he was the greatest. You know, he could do card flourishes and pull cards out of the air.
Card flourishes.
But the reason that Cardini was amazing,
he would make the cards appear as if from thin air.
From thin air.
Transdambulation of the cards.
When you're done, let me know. I'll keep going. Cardini did all of his card manipulations with gloves.
What?
I know. It's unbelievable that he could
Did it with gloves.
See, look how skilled I am with cards, with no, you know, with just bare hands. But I need the supple touch of the cards, Corey. But to do it with gloves.
That sounds like a detail someone who gave a shit about magic would really.
Well, that's why I think I love this more than a lot of people will. But it's a really good documentary. They show tons of old Ricky Jay footage from Dinosaur. Like, he does a bit with Steve Martin on Dinosaur. That's real funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these things where, like, knowing the trick, I know that Steve Martin was in on the trick.
Yeah.
But they tried to make it look like Steve Martin wasn't in on it, and it was this really funny thing. So it's really worth seeing because, you know, if you like, he was on the Midnight Special.
Okay.
You know, like back in the 70s and stuff, you know, with hair running down his back. And, you know, they talked, there's a lot of David Mamet because he puts him in all of his movies. And
sure.
David directs his stage, you know, the Ricky Jay stage shows and TV specials. So really interesting stuff about Ricky Jay. So if you've ever seen Ricky, he's been in a lot. Paul Thomas Anderson puts him in almost every movie. David Mamet puts him in every movie. And he's a real, a really great card magician. Sleight of hand.
Ricky Jay is known. He can throw a card.
Cards like, as weapons was his first book. Yeah, they show that bit, the watermelon bit, and a lot of great stuff. So if you're in, even if you're like I said, if the more you're into magic, the more you're like this. But anyone could watch this too. So Deceptive Practice, The Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay. Now this is available video on demand right now and stuff too. But I did find the distributors put this up for free on YouTube.
Okay.
So if you want to watch it, it's legit. It's on YouTube. It's the legit version. And you can watch it on YouTube as well for nothing right now. I'll put the link in the on the front page there of Joel Radio. You can see this.
All right.
That's good. So there you go. There's three great documentaries. And the only one you'd really have to pay for if you don't have Netflix is good old Frida. And that was like $6.
All right.
And that's worth the money if you're a Beatles fan. So
well,
there you go.
While we're doing the documentary dump.
Corey has a documentary.
Let me recommend Plimpton.
Oh.
With an exclamation point.
Is that the Bill
about,
Plimpton?
About George Plimpton.
George Plimpton, okay.
The great George Plimpton.
Bill Plimpton's a funny guy, too.
I'm sure that must have drove Bill Plimpton and George Plimpton
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Even though George Plimpton was around well before him.
Right.
George Plimpton was really, I guess his biggest claim to fame was he was the editor of the Paris Review, which was a literary journal. Still is.
Yeah.
Still exists. It's a literary journal that originally was founded post-war in Paris. Mm-hmm. As a way to publish all these great authors. And and it was in Paris for the first like 6-7 years. And then the rest of its life ran out of George Plimpton's apartment on 6th Avenue.
Yeah.
So
now George Plimpton, he's like a guy, like those guys don't even exist anymore. He was like a media, like a raconteur or something. He was just like this like personality.
There
like,
are
sort of a,
very,
yeah.
there's no, well.
But he was mainstream though too. That's
there's
what I
kind
mean.
Of like columnists.
Yeah,
but
right.
But George Plimpton was kind of a public intellectual.
Yeah.
And that is it. Well, authors used to be famous.
Yeah.
George Plimpton's big claim to fame was, aside from editing the Paris Review, participatory journalism.
Yeah.
So he would go. He started off with a book called "Out of My League," where he pitched in an all-star game against like Willie Mays,
right.
Mickey Mantle, and all these guys. He pitched an inning. And he said he got, like, Willie Mays to pop up. He got the first two guys to pop up, and he thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then it started going bad, and then he got hammered by a guy from the, you know, Pirates.
Yeah.
And anyway, he wrote a book about that, about pitching against Major League ballplayers. So he would go and just do all of these sports and events.
Well, Paper Lion.
Paper Lion was his biggest success, where he was a quarterback for the Lions in an exhibition game.
Yeah.
And got creamed.
Yeah, he is.
Now, at the screening I went to, a couple of the one of the coaches and one of the players from the Lions from 1962 said, on the play he got sacked on, we just blew the cover. We just the center and the right guard just
like
said,
they were trying or
they just no, they said
They stopped trying?
Let him have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they let him have a clear shot.
Yeah.
He basically said our offensive line wasn't that bad. We just let him have a clear shot, and George got hammered on it. So, but Paper Line was a huge hit, a great book. They made it into a movie with Alan Alda, and then Alex Karras kind of started his acting career from there. And pretty good. It was an interesting, that's a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Sure.
About all the cool stuff that George, they said basically he was never considered a literary heavyweight, but he made up for it by being... Yeah. This personality that was in...
Right, because he was a guy that, like, he became, like, he was the Intellivision pitchman. I don't know if that's in there.
That's in there.
You know, and he did a lot of, like, commercials, and you just see him as, like, sort of this... He was one of those guys that was, like, sort of the old... you know, the 80s, they used to have
this... They show him on Conan with Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
And they're like, you want to take up wrestling? And Hogan throws around a dummy dressed up like him. But
like, there used to be guys that would be like John Houseman, where they would bring guys on, and they were like these guys that would like endorse things. And
you weren't really sure what they did.
Yeah, you weren't really sure what they did, but you knew he was
they
like,
were old,
smart,
sophisticated.
And, yeah, sophisticated. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Sophisticates are gone from
our
culture.
Really are. Yeah.
Now it's all Miley Cyrus shooting ping pong ball.
Like, I forget the guy's name. There's guys from like the New York Times that you see interviewed and like.
David Carr,
yeah, like he's in the Replacements documentary, David Carr, because he knows everything, right?
So I mean, there's the guys that are on the Sunday,
they're on Charlie Rose and that,
they're on, you know, Meet the Press and This Week and all that stuff, but they're not the same level,
right? Yeah,
there used to be Norman Mailer, Gore Vidal,
exactly,
George Plimpton, William F. Buckley. Mm-hmm. These guys were all just sort of known as public intellectuals. They were famous authors.
Yeah.
And so
and now we've got Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. You know, it's sort of I know
O'Reilly was such a jackass on 60 Minutes.
I did see that before Amazing Race. I saw
so full of himself.
But I remember because we saw
we went to the game.
George Plimpton, and he died like within a week
he died
or
like
two.
Five days later,
we went to Ford Field and they had the day of the Paper Lion.
Reunited the players.
Yeah, and they had the whole team, and George came out and. And it was cool. We
and
were
Alex
there.
Karras was there. We were at that game.
Yeah, and he was dead. Just
a cool guy. And they showed all the parties he'd have.
Yeah.
And just everybody
he
was at those.
All
Warren Beatty and everybody. And so that's a cool one. That also I think you can get on like
video on demand, and
Daily Motion, and
because all these now, if they're in, if they have limited release in theaters, they're online somewhere. You can buy them on, you know, check your cable if you have cable. If you have like Vudu. Which is something you can get. Like, I have Amazon Instant Video on PlayStation, so I get it on there.
Right. Oh, George Plimpton was in the Ambassador Hotel when Robert Kennedy was.
Oh, okay.
He was with Bobby Kennedy and wrestled Sirhan Sirhan.
Wow.
He was one of the guys that
him and
jumped.
Rosie Greer?
Yeah, Rosie Greer and him jumped Sirhan. No, it's and they no, show. There's a
that's
picture.
What I mean. He was just around all this stuff.
There's a picture of George Plimpton wrestling the gun out of Sirhan Sirhan's hand. So, that's a cool flick. Take that if you're into history and culture and all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, that sounds cool too. So, all right. There's more to watch. More to watch. Always giving you things to watch here on Joel Radio. Very proud of that.
Documentary Dump, our new segment.
Well, you know what? I literally had wanted to see the three of these for a long time. And then when I was looking for Good Old Frida, I saw that Deceptive Practice was available. And I was like, oh, that's new on video on demand. So I watched one, and then I, you know, and then I just went to the other one, and then I did a search. There's actually a really good site called, I think I want to get this right. I think it's called Can I Stream. It's called Can I Stream It, but it's canistream.it, and you can look up any movie, and it'll show you if it's on Netflix, if it's on video on demand, if it's on HBO, if it's on Showtime, and if the movie, like if there's a movie in theaters that you want to see, and you just want to wait for it to go to video on demand or Netflix, you can set up an alert system, and it'll email you when these movies go, because it's the schedules now of some of these, like Magnolia distributed, I think Good Old Frida, so that's one that sort of
stuff kind of
very
comes
limited,
and, stuff kind of comes and goes off Netflix too if you're not careful.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of if you do Instant Watcher, that's my. If you want to know about Netflix,
like,
InstantWatcher.com.
A couple weeks ago, I noticed that about 5 Mystery Science Theater episodes popped up.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when are you going to put more of these
up? If you go to InstantWatcher.com, this is another great site to use. You can, like, I look at the new releases, and usually every 2-3 days, they add a bunch of more shit to Netflix. Like, they just added season 3 of Walking Dead today. Okay. I saw that on Instant Watcher this morning. And you can sort the movies by which ones are about to expire. So if you want to watch something right away, all the movies that are listed, it shows you when they expire. Like, some things have, like, 10-year, like, they don't expire for years and years.
Okay.
And then some of them are there. Like, a lot of times, before a series starts, I think they'll put, like, all of last year's episodes of the series up, but only for a limited time until the new series starts. So there's, like, that. So it's a good way to keep track of Netflix, because the actual Netflix, and if you click on it and you're a Netflix member, it'll actually automatically queue it up. So gotcha. InstantWatcher.com. That's
and then you've got
site.
Crackle. And
yeah, there's Crackle. I watch
you got all this other stuff.
I watch that Seinfeld show on Crackle.
Right.
That Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I've watched a bunch of those on Crackle, which you can also get on your PlayStation.
Crackle.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of old TV shows on there and stuff if you want to watch.
I will tell you this, Hulu. Hulu is a big, giant...
Do you have Hulu as well?
I have Hulu.
Oh, my God.
Hulu...
Money bucks. I had no idea. I was thinking...
They're $8 a month.
Who had Netflix and Hulu, this guy. Did you get rid of your cable yet, or you still have them?
You're
still holding on?
Cable.
You downgraded.
Well, this is great. I called...
I know...
Well, no.
I gotta...
There's, like, digital... Okay, so
right.
They have tiers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and there's, like, a digital starter. And it's got all the basic cable channels.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got ESPN.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the news channels and, like, right. Basically what I'd watch. Comedy Central.
Okay.
I don't really need 40 billion goddamn channels. I don't need the NHL channel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. The sports and even the movie stuff.
I don't need
stuff.
All
yeah.
of that stuff. You can pare that down. So I called and tried to go, well, look, I want to go back. I want to, you know. And it says in the voice message menu, it says, if you want to downgrade your service. So I called and said, I want to go down a tier.
Yeah.
And they're like, she put me on hold for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And was like, well, we can't really do that, but we'll knock, we'll knock $30
they
off
knock,
your bill.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, so you can't actually downgrade me, but you'll just,
they can downgrade
you'll hold me and wait for
they
give
want
me some
you
money
to,
off.
Yeah, they
I'm
want
just like,
you to
come
stay.
On.
Yeah. Because I know somebody did this. They downgraded their cable and they got, and then I think this was on UVerse, and they got rid of like, they're like, well, give me, they had the small, and they go, is there a smaller package than like U200? They're like, well, there's the family package. So they got this, and it was like, it was so limited. Like, it was no Comedy Central, no ESPN, no MTV. And then they discovered that and like called back the next day and went like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You got to give me that. You know what I mean? Like, they downgraded it to literally where it was like the networks and like CNN and like, the ABC family. It was like such a limited thing, and I was like, yeah, that's you got to get rid of that. But the streaming is a lot of premium content out there on streaming. And you know, even if you buy the stuff on like the Amazon on demand, there's $6.
Yeah,
you know, you can save, you know, whatever your cable bill is going to be. You know, you could watch $2 $6 movies, you know, twice a week, and you still wouldn't have a cable bill.
I'll tell you what,
point.
It's really getting to the point where I'm pretty ready to do it if it wasn't for the sports stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. A lot of the baseball's on cable, the hockey's on cable.
Football,
even the NFL, you know, the Sunday night games are on cable now.
Thursday nights.
And the Thursday nights are on cable. So it's tough. It's one of those things that, like, eventually, you know, many people can be happy without it. And then for the rest of us, you know, you just...
Well, that's all these people
the
I see on Facebook are like, well, I cut the cable a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, well, you're a fucking homo who doesn't watch...
Well, there are people...
You don't watch NFL.
Right. And, you know...
Or if I want to watch soccer.
Right.
I'm pretty much both.
And even having, like, the DVR functionality is worth something, too, because then you can watch stuff whenever you want.
But believe me, every month when that bill rolls in...
Oh, yeah.
I look
sucks,
at it and I go,
it sucks
you're
nuts,
kidding
me. No, absolutely. Well, I got rid of my internet from UVerse and got Comcast internet because they had a deal, and it was much faster. So
you're better off
made a,
canceling your cable altogether and then starting up again
with a new company
with a different package.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know,
right?
It's ridiculous.
But they do stuff like, you know, the DirecTV, their big thing. You know, if you watch football, you see this where it says like, "We'll give you NFL Sunday ticket for nothing if you sign up for DirecTV."
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you have to sign a 2-year deal for DirecTV. I mean, you agree, it's a contract. It's like a cell phone contract.
Yeah.
And the problem is next year's NFL is not included. So they're giving you NFL free this year knowing that you have to buy it from them next year if you still want it. And
they're
it's a lot of
a bunch of dicks.
Well, the rumor is that the NFL Sunday ticket contract is up. And apparently Google has shown interest in
it. So it's up for grabs.
So what they're saying is if Google did it, you would be able to stream it on your TV through an Xbox or through a set-top box or a Blu-ray player or through your computer, and you could get it that way, and you wouldn't be beholden to having DirecTV in your house. You could have any, as long as you had an internet service. HBO said the same thing, too. HBO is open to selling HBO to people with high-speed internet. The idea now is you can't
Can't stream the HBO stuff.
Without an HBO TV subscription.
I think Weeds is on. I think shows that are...
No longer
around.
Right. And pretty much all of AMC series end up on Netflix. So that's your Walking Dead, The Killing, Breaking Bad, all of AMC's Mad Men, all of those are on Netflix. I think Discovery has a deal with Netflix where all the Discovery shows are on Netflix now as well. And so you have to just figure out who's got the deals. And then Amazon Instant Video's got deals with other people. But the problem with some of those is, like, you know, I think it's CBS that doesn't have any of their content on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to watch the first run CBS, you have to watch it on TV or on their website.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of being dicks about it.
Whereas
NBC, Fox, and ABC will put stuff on Hulu.
Streaming is not quite at the point
it's
where...
It's not there yet, yeah.
Some stuff is great.
It is, yeah.
I can watch every Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Absolutely.
If I, you know, and sometimes Star Trek is a great thing to put on in the background. Because, like, I've seen them already. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's comforting to hear the sounds of those doors.
Yeah.
Whatever,
Or
whatever you're into.
Well, if you want to get like
you want to chunk watch, whatever.
If you want to watch,
Kids in the Hall.
BBC series and stuff like that are on Netflix. And those, even if you get like the BBC America where they show them when they air.
Spaced is on
Netflix.
They're not
in Asia. Yeah, I mean, Top Gear, if you want, like the British Top Gear, which is great, is on Netflix and Amazon Instant Video. So PBS has all their content, I think, on Netflix.
The notion, though, that Netflix
has Frontlines and Nova.
Everything in the world.
No.
It does not.
For first-run movies, actually, Netflix is pretty lousy. I mean, they have the Avengers on there now, but like that's the one big hit from last year that they even have on this service.
Right.
Like, it's very limited. But actually, I find, you know, like if you go...
Hulu has got... Okay, the problem with Hulu is it's hard to navigate.
Yeah.
You have to go... But Hulu has... Okay, Netflix has the first two seasons... of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Hulu has the whole run.
Right. No, Netflix has, I think, 4 of the 5 years.
Oh, okay. Well...
Yeah, but they aren't missing a season.
They did
for
not...
For whatever fucking reason.
They only had the first two at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Hulu has everything.
Yeah.
But you gotta navigate through 500...
Yeah,
Hulu's, Korean romance shows.
Yeah, Hulu's got a weird...
There's a lot of weird foreign stuff.
Yeah.
All this anime.
I believe the Instant Watcher, there's a Hulu version of Instant Watcher as well.
Yeah.
I plugged that site. But that's, like I said, you go on there and you can hit the button and queue it up right away from
Here's what's awesome on
their
Hulu.
Site. So
Hulu has a big chunk of the Criterion Collection.
Oh, okay, yeah, the movies, yeah.
It's got, I don't know how many of them, but it's got hundreds.
Yeah, I saw they made a deal with that.
But you have to go and find the tab for the studios and look up the specific studio.
See, you have to use...
Hulu is hard to navigate, but it has cool stuff.
Try Instant Watcher for Hulu. That'll save. Because that's what I use for Netflix. I use Instant Watcher, and that's almost all the only thing I do on there. Occasionally, I'll queue stuff up from Netflix's suggestion right in the app on PS3, but a lot of times I don't... I just queue it up from Instant Watcher, so that's good. But I also found... And that I was like, can I stream it? You can also see what's on Redbox. And Redbox is great because Blu-rays are $1.50 a day. So if you want to actually watch a Blu-ray and you don't mind schlepping down to the supermarket.
Or you could go to your public library.
Yeah, public library has a lot of stuff. But I think, you know, because the video on demand is $6 or $7. If you want, like I watched World War Z from Redbox the other day. Because it was $1.50 and I was like, okay. It was the first day I was out, I said.
God knows I don't need to watch any more movies.
Yeah, well, some people do.
But I'm watching, like, Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. I'm watching, like, weird, you know what I mean? I'm looking for old, weird stuff.
I know, and I had Hulu briefly. I had, like, their trial, but I know they had the, and as a magic nerd, they had the, like, The Amazing World of Kreskin, which was, like, a 70s TV show that Kreskin did. And they had, like, the whole run of that.
They have weird stuff.
Yeah, they have
stuff
weird
on Hulu.
Stuff, yeah. On
I found a show called Aunt Jack. That was an Australian like show from the 70s that was like a sketch comedy show. Weird stuff, man.
Let me pull up Instant Watcher. All right. Because I know I just...
Are we at the 5-hour mark
here?
Yeah,
we're at this. Okay, they just added, like I said, season 3 of Walking Dead. They also added Comic Book Men, so there's AMC stuff. Then they have every TLC show is on there. If you want a Cake Boss, 19 kids are
counting.
Let me
tell you if I want a Cake Boss, all right?
Corey, how many Bering Seagulls have you seen?
I'm going to tell you something right now, Joel.
You can get all of those.
Why don't you fucking stop messing around and get over here and make this Red Velvet?
All right. How about Hoarding Buried Alive? Are you behind on those?
Oh, God.
Because you can queue those up right now. You know, you need how many seasons of Long Island Medium do you need to watch?
Who's got
afternoon?
Storage Wars?
I'm not sure. You know, they had them on Netflix for a while, but then, season 3 of Louie was just added. With Louis C.K. That was just
what about Bar
Netflix.
Rescue? Is that on there?
You know, let me check these. You can do a little search here. Let me see. Bar Rescue. Bar Rescue is not on Netflix. But like I said, there is, I believe there's a Hulu version of this somewhere. And what else do you want to watch? Storage Wars? You know what? I think the A&E stuff might be on Amazon Instant Video. But see, that's another thing. That's why you go to Can I Stream It?
Bar Rescue is on
stream.it. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's Can I Stream It?
It's on Hulu.
Okay, there you go. That is Storage Wars or Bar Rescue?
Bar Rescue.
Okay, let me see what Storage Wars. Oh, I got to search TV. But this is a great app. I mean, yeah, there's an episode on Android too, so I have it on my phone. Storage Wars on TV. Let me search that. It is on, let me tell you in 2 seconds. Do you want Storage Wars Canada? Because there's...
Storage Wars
is available on...
I saw there's a Storage Wars home game.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a Storage Wars the game. So, you know, you can recreate the thrilling excitement of living off someone else's human misery. And not actually making money out of it.
Storage Wars is available on Amazon Instant Video. So that means you have to be like an Amazon Prime member. It's $79 a year, and you can get it on there. The individual episodes of Storage Wars are available for purchase on Fudu, iTunes, Vudu.
Vudu. Fufu and Doodoo. Fufu.
That's a monster cereal that never came out, Fudu. Vudu, Amazon Instant Video, and iTunes have individual episodes. But yeah, if you want to stream it, then you got to get Amazon Instant Video. So really, you need to have 3 or 4 subscriptions to get.
That's a problem.
And you still don't have CBS because, like, you have Amazon Instant Video, Hulu Plus, Crackle. YouTube has some stuff on there. Oh, now Redbox has StreamPix, which is their streaming service. And there's something called HitBliss that they're listing on Can I Stream It? But I don't even know what that is. All right, but I think that's enough. Look, there's enough to watch. There's enough to listen to.
Yeah,
we've given
enough,
you enough to listen
there's
to.
There's enough to listen to on this show for 2 weeks.
Exactly. So I want to thank Sal for coming by. Let's give it up.
The great Sal.
Let's give it up for the great Sal. I should play some more Dago music as we go out because that's just... Sal would want it that way.
Yes.
But we got to thank Sal for being here. Buddy, thanks for the Soda Shacks. I've got a fridge full of those now.
I suppose thanks is what you can say.
What color are pee and poo going to be later today?
Neon colors.
After eating Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy and drinking Soda Shack. By the way, this CD I'm playing, speaking of streaming, is something called The Best of Neapolitan Mandolins. This is from Google Play Music.
I'd hate to hear the worst of Neapolitan.
Well, I only have the best for you. This is speaking of streaming. I now have Google Play Music, which is $8 a month. You can stream all your music from there.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Sal for coming by and Corey Hall, of course. Go to JewelRadio.net. I'll have links to all this content we've been talking about and how you can watch it.
Hey.
What else can I tell you? We'll have a full television review.
General Mills for putting out the monster seals and killing my kidneys.
I know why they got rid of Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy now.
Yummy Mummy, I definitely know why they got rid of.
That is gross. Fruit Brute is...
Fruit Brute is kind of...
palatable. And Blueberry, I might buy a box of Blueberry once in a blue
moon.
There you
go.
But, you know. What else can I tell you? We're going to have... Let's do... Oh, you know what? We forgot to do our full Breaking Bad coverage. Let's do it right now. Are you ready, Corey?
Yeah.
The Breaking Bad finale.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. All right. That's our Breaking Bad finale coverage.
I did watch the first season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's a fine show.
Yeah,
but the fact that every fucking Jamoke,
I don't know what
likes it on Facebook just made me hate it.
I don't know why people have to every half an hour have to tell us, I'm about to watch the Breaking Bad finale, or I just watched the Breaking Bad. It's like, we get it. It's a fucking TV show. Shut up. Just shut up. It's not worth talking about.
I wish we had done this at the start of the show.
Shut up. Shut up about Breaking. Shut up.
I know. It is the greatest TV show of all time, Joel.
You don't understand. It's the greatest.
It's a science teacher who somehow kills entire drug armies.
Listen.
He defeats entire cartels of Mexican drug dealers on his own.
Let me tell you something. I watched every Seinfeld. And let me tell you, Breaking Bad is the best show ever. I have a sophisticated
taste. Saw every NYPD Blue.
Listen, and I'm a diehard Law and Order fan. Right. You put on Law and Order, I don't care. I'm watching the whole thing. But nothing beats Breaking Bad. I mean, you can't even.
I mean, I don't care. Look, it was hard to watch Law and Order after, Robert, after whatever.
Listen, I'm a fan of all three CSIs, but that Breaking Bad.
You want that CSI Miami. That's my show.
That Ted Danson ruined the Vegas one, but I was still in.
Yeah. Bring back William Peterson.
I think we're just going to go out on this music, because really,
I mean,
it doesn't get any better.
It never got better than when Michael Moriarty was on the original. Law and Order.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. Corey watched a season of
Breaking
Bad.
I watched every season of Alice, and I got to tell you, as great as that show was, Vic Tabak, amazing.
And I'm telling you, I love King of Queens, but nothing beats Breaking Bad. All right, we got to get out of here. Right. Good night, everybody.
I watched every episode of CPO Sharky, and I got to tell you, Breaking Bad beats it.
Oh,
AKA Pablo with Paul Rodriguez. It ain't nothing.
Goodbye. Breaking Bad. Breaking.
We just broke your iPod with this thing.
All right, later.